blood in the water. Are we talking about now the fall of a prime minister before even those local elections? In other news, extraordinary decision at the Palestine Action Group. Six cleared of a hammer raid on an Israeli arms firm. This is the break-in of the firm, a firm that's near Bristol. One female police officer was left with her back broken, but they've all been cleared. Why? In other news, a change to the rugby. Get ready to watch adverts during the rugby coverage on ITV. Plus,
after fleeing the Royal Lodge in Windsor, the Andrew formerly known as Prince is now settling in Norfolk. But will he get a royal welcome from his neighbours? I'm LBC's Henry Riley in Sandringham.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, the Prime Minister is under growing pressure from his own MPs over the Lord Mandelson scandal. Sir Keir Starmer has been forced to hand over files on his appointment as US ambassador after a major backlash. Sir Keir admitted he knew of Peter Mandelson's ties with Jeffrey Epstein, but he repeatedly lied about their friendship. Labour peer Baroness Kennedy has told LBC the Prime Minister has a right to feel let down.
It's a betrayal of the Prime Minister who appointed him to be in that cabinet and to be more or less his deputy. Is a betrayal of the Labour Party, of which he was supposed to be a prime member and leader. And, but much to my mind, more important than anything, a betrayal of the national interest.
Peter Mandelson has previously denied any wrongdoing. An email released as part of the Epstein files appears to confirm a photo of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and Virginia Dufresne is real. Miss Dufresne accused Andrew of sexually assaulting her after claiming she was trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. The former prince moved out of his mansion in Windsor to Norfolk on Monday following pressure over his ties with Epstein. LBC's Henry Riley has sent this report from Sandringham.
In a 2019 interview, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor said he couldn't recollect the purported photo of him with his arm around his accuser, the late Virginia Dufresne, suggesting the infamous image was fake or doctored. But in a bombshell email, it appears to suggest otherwise and contradict the former prince's account.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has always strongly denied any wrongdoing. The Prime Minister will attempt to put questions about Lord Mandelson behind him with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities later. Sir Keir Starmer will stress the government's work in tackling the cost of living, arguing it's vital for the nation's security. A ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force. The Home Office announced the change after it emerged some migrants were travelling long distances, costing hundreds of pounds. The Bank of England's expected to keep its base rate of interest on hold later. Most economists think it'll stay at 3.75% after it was cut from 4% before Christmas. And the latest audience figures are out. They show LBC reaches a record number of people across the UK, with 3.4 million people now tuning into our stations every week, and 1.4 million of you are choosing Nick Ferrari at breakfast to start your day. So thank you. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,402. It closed up 87 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers. For the south of England, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
At Lidl, there's always more to value. Like switching from Sainsbury's to Lidl and saving £32 on this week's big shop at lidl.co.uk/save more. Which means a stocked up fridge of big brands, award-winning own brands, and your fresh five a day with extra helpings encouraged. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 2nd of the 2nd, 26. Sainsbury's also sell other products. See online for more details.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after seven on Thursday, the 5th of February. It was once said some years ago of a previous Prime Minister, Sir John Major, in office but not in power. Surely the same can be said now of Sir Keir Starmer as he clings to the wreckage of an admission that he appointed Peter Mandelson as the Washington ambassador, knowing that he'd retained or continued the friendship after Epstein had been convicted of sex crimes as a paedophile. What does that show about the judgment of this supposedly forensically trained barrister come Prime Minister? Plus, if we're questioning judgment, what the hell is going on at Leicestershire Police after what is a suspected murder? It took them 18 hours to release any information. Ty Crofton works at the scene, De Montfort University. He told journalists...
To my right, there was a young black man lying on the floor, covered, well, surrounded by about 12 to 17 bystanders, some of which had covered him in their coats.
Back to that Epstein scandal, and from the Prince of Darkness to the former Prince Andrew, he's on his way, of course, now to a new home in Norfolk. Elvis's Henry Riley's been finding out how his new neighbours are reacting.
I don't think people will be overly thrilled to know that he's going to be our neighbour. It's a very testy subject.
It's a pity he's not staying where he was.
So he's not welcome in for a cup of tea?
No.
No.
The baffling decision that six Palestine Action activists who raided the British branch of an Israeli defence firm using pickaxes and sledgehammers and managed to break the back of a female police officer are all cleared. How? We'll look at that later in the show. We're going to be joined by the leader of the Conservative Party as well, Kemi Badenoch, coming on. That's in the next hour. And also covering this extraordinary story in the United States about the abduction of a TV, top TV news anchor's mum. Here's Savannah Guthrie posting a tearful video pleading for her mum's return.
Our mom is our heart and our home. She is 84 years old. Her health, her heart is fragile.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It was many years ago, and it was, as I recall, Norman, now Lord Lamont, speaking of John, now Sir John Major, in office, not in power. Surely the same can be said of Sir Keir Starmer as he clings to the wreckage of a shocking Prime Minister's questions yesterday, where he was effectively, politically taken apart by the Leader of the Opposition, Kemi Badenoch, who will join us later in the show. But let's go back to the events that we witnessed yesterday. LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, giddy for a second, if not third day, joins me in the studio. Natasha, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I'm giddy every day when Westminster politics is this chaotic. Yesterday, I think, Nick, surely Sir Keir Starmer's worst day as Prime Minister, and has led many of his MPs to be asking today, is this curtains for him? One minister told me, we're all asking, how long has he got left? This just feels inevitable. Another MP told me, this is awful. I've got no idea what happens to us next. Now, the day began with the Tories declaring they would try to force the government to publish the so-called Mandelson files, all related to the government appointment about Lord Mandelson as US ambassador. But jaws dropped and faces fell in the House of Commons yesterday at PMQs when the Prime Minister finally admitted he did know about an ongoing relationship between him and Jeffrey Epstein.
He did know it was on Google. If the Conservative Research Department could find this information out, why couldn't number 10? Yeah. Can the Prime Minister tell us, did the official security vetting he received mention Mandelson's ongoing relationship with the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein?
So clear. Prime Minister?
Yes, it did. As a result, various questions were put to him. I intend to disclose to this House all of the national security, prejudice to international relations on one side. I want to make sure this House sees the full documentation so it will see for itself the extent to which time and time again Mandelson completely misrepresented the extent of his relationship with Epstein.
A chaotic day, Nick, in the House of Commons ensued. MP after MP stood up to slam the government. There was also an intervention from the former Deputy Labour leader, Angela Rayner. She wanted MPs, not the Cabinet Secretary, to decide which information to publish in a bid to avoid accusations of a cover-up.
Given the public disgust and the sickening behaviour of Peter Mandelson and the importance of transparency, in 2022 I proposed a humble address seeking information about PPE, which the party opposite resisted and my honourable friend the member for Hackney South mentioned just before. Should we not have the ISC not have the same role now in keeping public confidence in the process?
Now, as it became clear that the government may be in trouble with this vote, the whips struck a deal with the Tories and agreed that the International Security Committee would vet those national documents instead. Another humiliation for the Prime Minister, another climb down. Another example, Nick, of that power slipping away from number 10 and from the Prime Minister. And we saw it again just a few hours later as the Met Police told us they were blocking Downing Street from releasing files. Those are the files that number 10 say will prove Mandelson lied to them. The Met say, we don't want to prejudice any criminal investigation into Lord Mandelson. Yet another blow. The tide just felt like it was starting to turn. And yesterday, our colleague Andrew Marr spoke to the Labour grandee, Lord Hutton, who said it could be the beginning of the end.
I think for many people, the fact that that association continued after the point where I think most reasonable people would say, look, I'm afraid enough is enough, I think does make it extremely difficult for the Prime Minister. And I say that with a huge amount of regret. This is a very serious moment for him. And I think he needs to reflect very carefully on everything to do with the appointment of Peter Mandelson to this particular role. It could well mark the end of the Prime Minister's time in office.
So it feels very precarious this morning, Nick, for the Prime Minister, but yet we don't publicly have any MPs calling for him to go. No cabinet resignations yet. That, of course, is something we'll watch out for. The PM today is pulling the only lever he can. It's the get on with the job lever. He's got a speech about Britain and pride today. But, Nick, it's not pride that many Labour MPs are feeling today. It is deep despair and deep shame that this is where this Labour government has got to.
We'll have more on that speech. Just before I let you go, more on that speech later in the show. How long will it take the International Security Committee to return with its findings, do we know?
So essentially they are now reliant on the Met. So the Met has said, we can't release this information right now, it's going to prejudice our investigation. The International Security Committee are only going to look at the documents which could potentially compromise any national security. So we could be looking at days for this investigation, we could be looking at weeks or months. So this is all in the hands of now the Met Police, not Number 10 Downing Street.
Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, reporting 10 minutes after 7. Let's bring to the conversation David Nadd, Lord Wolfson, who is a KC Conservative Peer and is Shadow Attorney General and former Justice Minister. Thanks very much for coming on, Lord Wolfson. Where do you see the story going next? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Well, the Prime Minister started PMQs yesterday as a Prime Minister under fire, and he ended it as Prime Minister in name only. You could almost feel the authority seeping away. When the House of Commons is as silent as it was yesterday, it's normally because a death is being reported. Tragically, often it's the death of our service people, but yesterday they were witnessing, I think, the political death of the Prime Minister, because this story isn't going to go away. The material is going to come out from the Intelligence and Security Committee. There's then going to be a police investigation, and the Prime Minister is now inextricably tied in the public's mind, and rightly so, to Lord Mandelson. He had a choice who to appoint to Washington. We actually had a very good professional diplomat in post as it was. And he chose, it's a matter of judgment, he chose, knowing what he knew, to appoint Lord Mandelson. And that was the devastating admission yesterday. It wasn't in response to Kemi Badenoch's first question or her second, it was her third. She had to ask the question three times to get the answer. And I can tell you this, if it takes three times to get the answer from a witness in court, the answer is normally devastating. And that answer yesterday was devastating.
Can I go to your experience in court, actually, Lord Wilson, reminding my listeners you're a commercial barrister, you're a KC, you serve at One Essex Court Chambers. And what struck me watching Sakir was this extraordinary, confirming Lord Mansell, he lied and lied and lied. Surely professional men and women such as you as barrister are used to defendants lying, and your skill set is that you find the truth behind the lie. Lord Wilson.
Well, what was very odd about the Prime Minister's defence was that he said, well, I knew that Lord Mandelson had maintained his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein after Epstein had been convicted for child prostitution. But I asked him a few questions, or perhaps some other people asked him a few questions, and he told us some lies. And that's meant to be a defence. I mean, nobody would accept that in any company up or down the land. And then later on, He said, if I'd known then what I know now, I wouldn't have appointed him. And you could almost hear people up and down the country saying, you know what, that's what we now think about appointing you as Prime Minister.
David, Lord Wilson, thank you for your time. You're a KC Conservative Peer and Shadow Attorney General, commercial barrister at One Essex Court Chambers, 13 after 7. Let's bring into the conversation Sean Simon, who served as a Labour Minister under Gordon Brown and indeed was a Labour MP for some years up in Birmingham, now specialist partner at Flint Global, and joins me now. Same question, if I can, to you to start with. Where does this story go next in your view? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think the story... It is becoming clearly less about Peter Mandelson and more about the Prime Minister. And that's where it's going to stay for a while. I would be surprised, though, if this unravels to the extent that were the Prime Minister topples immediately. for a long time now, all energy and attention has been focused on the May elections. And from your political editor was reporting, actually, no Labour MP has been calling for him to go, no ministers have resigned and so on. And I think that's because it's just too close to the elections. And I think people will wait until after May, even now, even if the mood has shifted and stays as shifted as is being reported this morning.
Sean, if it goes badly for Labour in Gorton in the by-election, as is being predicted, but we're weeks away from the polls, could that not be a tipping point?
I think that's the same answer. The by-election is at the end of this month. It's literally a few weeks before kind of vital local elections all across England, national elections in Wales and Scotland. Nobody wants a leadership election that close to elections, public elections, which everybody expects to be terrible anyway. People have been waiting for a long time to have this reckoning after May, and I think that's still what will happen. Obviously, all these events will just weigh more heavily in that balance when the time comes.
Sean, you probably remember around 20 years ago, Tony Blair said the new Labour project will be complete when the party came to love Peter Mandelson. Did they ever love Peter Mandelson? Did it ever love, sorry, singular party?
The party never did come to love Peter Mandelson. To be honest, there will probably be like almost as many people in the Labour Party who feel a sense of vindication and natural justice by events this week than there will be outside the Labour Party. Obviously, the Prime Minister, the then Prime Minister Tony Blair, was making an ideological point, a philosophical point about, you know, Mandelson representing it being a pro-business, pro-markets kind of modern party. I think fair to say that on those grounds either, I think the current parliamentary Labour Party has shifted further back from that direction than Tony Blair would like to have seen.
Grateful for your time, Sean. Thank you. Sean Simon, a specialist partner at Flint Global, former Labour minister serving under Gordon Brown. Well, now over to you. Does Keir Starmer survive? I think he'll take them. Might be staggered if he didn't take them to this local election later this month, but put yourself in the shoes of a female, particularly a female Labour MP or a Labour minister, where we now know that someone who is a convicted paedophile involved in sex trafficking, the Prime Minister knew that the friendship was maintained between the man he was sending to Washington and someone who was involved in sex trafficking of underage girls. It's repugnant and abhorrent whether you're man or woman. But if you're a female MP, if you're a minister for women or minister of care for women or something, and your leader of the party has made that decision, it's tough to stay in post, isn't it? Tough also to work out what on earth was going on with Leicestershire police. It took 18 hours to release any information about the fatal stabbing of a student at De Montfort University. Nicole was on her way to work when she saw the police cordon. She said,
even though, like, I'm currently not in uni, it's, like, it's so close to East End. It's sad to know that this is what's happening, like, within your areas, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make you feel safe. I just hope that whatever has happened, that everyone is okay.
More on that after the 7.15 LBC News headlines from Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer's under growing pressure from Labour backbenchers over the Lord Mandelson scandal. The Prime Minister will attempt to put questions about Peter Mandelson behind him, with a keynote speech about rebuilding pride in communities later. And a ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers in the south of England, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 clockwise to junction 23 at South Mimms. It's because a lorry's broken down and one lane is closed. The M40 is very busy southbound from Beaconsfield at junction 2 to the M25, and that's following an accident. Delays over Vauxhall Bridge southbound. There's been an accident and only one lane is open. On the underground, there are severe delays on the District line and there are minor delays on the Northern line. Also on the train, Southern are now running between Clapham Junction and Watford Junction, but with delays of about half an hour. And also there's still disruption for Southern to and from Victoria and also to and from London Bridge.
This is LBC.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of...
Pukka Herbal Tea. Pukka. Nothing beats nature.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
You know that feeling when your money is working for you? No? Well, make it. Open an investment account at XTB, make your first deposit and receive a free Rolls-Royce stock.
Rolls-Royce?
That's right. Own one of the best performing UK stocks this year for free. And if you like it, you can easily buy more stocks and ETFs with 0% commission. Join XTB and let your money work for you.
Your capital is at risk. Investments above €100,000 are charged at 0.2% commission. FX fees may apply. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
Oh, hello, love. Good day.
Right. Thanks for joining this all-staff meeting.
It's just you and me.
So, I think that we need to revisit tonight's dinner plans.
Okay.
Busy day. A lot of KPIs. A lot of KPIs. Gonna need you to order some spaghetti, tomatoes, a bottle of white, and two sticky toffee puddings. Let's circle back after you've ordered an Uber Eats.
Sure.
When you've officed enough, Uber Eats, and get all your groceries delivered. Check out for terms and restrictions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:21. Coming to your calls in just a moment. Peter, you'll be the first one. We're assessing the damage. Can Sir Keir Starmer survive? I can't imagine. There's a double negative here. I can't imagine he won't take them to the by-election later this month. That is, he will. But and then so Sean Simon, with whom I'm speaking, is a very bright man and, more importantly, is a very attuned political commentator and served as a Labour minister. I get his argument that so they have a bad Gorton at the by-election, and then just around the corner, effectively, are the locals, as they're called, which people are trying to say in the midterms are our local election, much of England, all of Scotland, all of Wales. But what's to be gained by hanging on to a lame duck PM? Because surely that's what he is. If you stop and think, and I was thinking about this yesterday, oh, did you notice when I had to put it on tape because I was at a charity lunch yesterday, so I was probably more, I don't know, relaxed or paper. And on a human level, this is appalling. His hands were shaking, the Prime Minister. And on a human level, set aside the political, that's awful to see a man just shaking. I think he knows it's gone. But the problem is, and I speak of someone who I know and have been in the studio, and I would say it to his face, I don't think he has the political antennae finely tuned. In fact, of all the recent Prime Ministers, I can't think of anyone who has such poorly tuned antennae. No one comes near. Boris, oafish at times. But my God, he knew what was going on in the ordinary man and woman's mind. Theresa May, shocking at times. But she had political antennae. I mean, I suppose Liz Truss, you could probably say, is almost as bad. I mean, this is the Liz Truss of Labour, isn't it? It is reflected on the front page of the newspapers. Starmer in grave peril as Rayner twists knife is the front page of the Daily Mail. The Times, Starmer fights for future over Mandelson scandal. And the Telegraph, equally punchy. Rayner turns on Starmer, as in the Deputy Prime Minister. A couple of other front pages. The Sun, simply the word revolting. And this is the story that shamed Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is facing a revolt from staff at his new Sandringham home, who are saying they refuse to serve him. Again, because of his links with a convicted paedophile. LBC's Henry Riley is in the area and will file a report later in the show. And this is a bit personal, this one, because I did mention the death of John Virgo yesterday, and the Daily Mirror has spoken with his widow, Rosie Rees, who I've known for 40-plus years. I've sent a note, and she's given a three-page interview to the Daily Mirror front page. I can't imagine life without my John. They were together, and, of course, it's worth saying that Rosie helped John back from various issues, including addiction to gambling and bankruptcy. So, Rosie, hope I catch up with you soon again. I give you my deepest sympathies. Go to the LBC app, of course, for all the breaking news, and they will follow whatever happens with the Starmer's future later today. And, of course, later today, and we'll look ahead to this, there will be that speech. I think it's in one of the home counties about where he's going to try and set out the record and talk about getting on with the job. Talk about that in a moment. Let's talk about what we saw yesterday. Peter's in Stirling. Peter, your reaction. Where do you want to start? Can Starmer survive? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think he's managed to survive this far. I can't see him not surviving until May. He'll be gone after May. But
he has admitted to appointing someone to a key role who he knew kept links with a paedophile, a convicted paedophile. Now, if that doesn't call into question your judgment, for the love of all that's holy, I don't know what does.
Well, what hasn't called into question his judgment over the last 6 to 8
years? But not at this level. I mean, dopey policies about farmers, whatever else, I get it. They're stupid. This is, I'm not saying it is criminal, but this is effectively indulging your man in Washington keeping links with a criminal. That's on a different level.
It only confirms what we all thought last September. Everyone in the political sphere, when the first wave of scandals with Mandelson and the Epstein banner emerged, we all knew, and I think everyone in the political sphere knew.
But Peter, we all knew he was incompetent. I didn't know he was this dumb. I mean, this is just plain dumb.
I just can't see it. I think as well we've got to consider this. There is no current heir apparent. It's too soon for Rayner to come back. Wes Streeting seems to be hunkered down in with the NHS. And Burnham isn't there as an MP, so at the moment, there isn't.
That's a fair point, although the minute they sniff the possibility, I think you'll suddenly see two of those names that you just mentioned, who are in position to have a go at it, suddenly come forward. But Peter, OK, I hear what you say, you're right. I mean, is it 14 U-turns? Yes. But I would argue nothing on the level of this to me. Peter, thanks for getting started. No shortage of reaction. 7:26. Let's go to another story, and we're questioning the judgment of the Prime Minister. I'm also questioning the judgment of Leicestershire Police, because they're under pressure today to explain why it took more than 18 hours to release any information about the fatal stabbing of a university student. The victim was aged 20, was attacked at around 5 p.m. on Tuesday, close to the De Montfort University campus, which is in Leicester city centre. A city, if you've listened to me, you know I know well, because Mum was raised there. But Leicestershire Police choosing not to publish a press release until 11:30 yesterday, only after the university had said a very serious incident had taken place. Questions are being asked by both local MPs and local councillors. Andy Trotter served as Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the Met, Chief Constable of BTP, British Transport Police, and is a police commentator. If you accept something's gone wrong, Andy Trotter, what's gone wrong here? Good morning.
What a dreadful, dreadful tragedy, Nick. I mean, it's so unbelievably awful for the family and quite clearly for everybody involved. And, you know, a swift response to the scene, both by ambulance and police, and an arrest has been made. So it looks like the operation itself and this awful case has been dealt with well. There'll no doubt be some discussion about, you know, what the lessons to be learned, because there always are. Every single thing the police deal with is usually reviews. But what you did notice, no doubt, is the Leicestershire Police made a particular point about the efforts to trace the family. We know that can be a bit more complicated than it can first appear, to make sure you get all members of the family that ought to be notified and the family liaison officers to get to them, because
you were DAC at the Met, you were Chief Constable at BTP. Yep. You don't have to give the name. You just, and you know better than I, in these days of social media, and I'm not going to say some of the rumours that were swirling around Leicester, you can, you know, just look up at Liverpool, you know the rumours that are going to start.
Yeah.
The police have a job to control that as well. You don't get to name the person at all, do you?
No, but you have to say, there's no doubt there may be lessons here, but let's go back to what I was saying, is that you don't want members of the family finding this out from some police broadcast when they haven't been told themselves. Mm. And you don't know where the family were. They could be abroad. It could be a complex family. I have no idea at all. And therefore, you're going to make sure they come first in this, not social media, not speculation, and not the views of a local councillor. Do the investigation properly.
18
which they've
hours?
Done. I can't speak for it. I don't know how long they took to do that. But, you know, this business about having to pander to other people's concerns and speculation, I think perhaps is slightly overdoing it. They've done a job. It happened yesterday, Tuesday at 5 p.m. Overnight, you wouldn't want something being broadcast on this. They did it in the morning when they got all the facts and all the details. And I think let them get on with the
meanwhile, some people in Leicester thought it was a terror attack.
Well, if it was a terror attack, they would have said so, wouldn't they?
Why? They didn't say that there was a fatal stabbing. Why should the folk of Leicestershire, have any confidence in their local force? It takes them 18 hours to say that someone's been stabbed.
Leicestershire deal with lots of and lots of crime. If this was a terrorism attack, that there'd have been terrorist officers there, there'd been all the usual things that we've got after the dreadful events that we've all seen across the country.
Andy Trotter, always good speaking with you. Deputy Assistant Commissioner at the Met, Chief Constable of British Transport Police, 729. Let's get another voice in about Starmer. Does he survive? Mick from Waltham Abbey. Mick, what do you say? Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
Hello, sir.
I'm apoplectic about it. I think if he goes now and falls on his sword and does the honourable thing, maybe the Labour Party might stand a chance of getting in May. But if he doesn't, there's no way.
Why do you think... You think there's enough, effectively, forgiveness for him if he was to say, look, I made a complete pig's ear of this and I'm gone?
I just can't see him doing it. I think he's too arrogant, like most politicians. I think he'll just, like you say, he'll blunder through a day now and hope it'll pass, and it won't pass.
No, this is
and he'll have to go in a few days' time, but he'll cripple the Labour Party by doing it.
Who do you think, lastly, might take over as the leader and indeed the Prime Minister then?
I'll be honest with you, anyone would be better than him.
All right, thank you for that, Mick. This conversation will continue. Coming up in the next hour, Conservative leader of His Majesty's Opposition, Kemi Badenoch, whichever side of the political fence on, you have to say she had a pretty successful time at PMQs yesterday, didn't she? And get ready for the big kickoff. Greatest sporting events on the planet kicks off tonight, actually, the Six Nations. But get ready when you're watching the games on TV. ITV are going to be playing adverts during the game. How's that going to work? None of the Nigel Owens will be on to explain, hopefully in detail, how that particular aspect of the game would be refereed. 7.30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC Newstime. Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister's under growing pressure from his own MPs over the Lord Mandelson scandal. Sir Keir Starmer's been forced to hand over files on his appointment as US ambassador after a major backlash. The Prime Minister will attempt to put the Peter Mandelson saga behind him later with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities. Sir Keir Starmer will look to stress the government's work in tackling the cost of living, arguing it's vital for the nation's security. And a ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force. The change comes after it was revealed some migrants were travelling long distances, costing hundreds of pounds. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers in the south of England, hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
The Mandelson files are handed from the Cabinet Office to the Metropolitan Police. Is this shaping up to be potentially the worst corruption scandal in British politics for the last half century?
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Idle money chills in your current account, parked in front of the telly, wanting a snack, yet too lazy to move. But thanks to Monzo, busy money got up early, automatically split your paycheck into pots, rounded up your purchases into savings, invested your interest into ISAs, oh, and has already written itself a to-do list for tomorrow. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. UK residents aged 18 plus, Monzo personal account required, capital at risk, T's and C's and fees may apply.
At TfL, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Most cars are designed for the road. The Mazda CX-30 is designed for you. Our stylish and compact SUV is available with 0% APR when ordered before the 31st of March. Mazda, crafted with Japanese soul. Search Mazda. Available on PCP when financed by Mazda Financial Services by the 30th of June 26. Indemnities may be required. Terms apply. See website.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, back to our conversation about matters political in a moment, but it's decision day. No, not for Sir Keir Starmer, but interest rates and what is likely to take place. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, joins me now. What's going to happen, Christian? Mystic May, what's going to happen?
Well, Nick, fortunately, you don't have to rely on my own judgment, because plenty of economists make a good living trying to figure out what the Bank of England is going to do. In fact, at City AM, on our Shadow Monetary Policy Committee, we've pulled together 8 of the smartest square mile economists to forecast for us, and their expectation, alongside the expectation, it should be said, of many institutions, is that today the Bank of England will hold interest rates at 3.75%, in keeping with what they've previously described as a gradual downward path. The bank rate, of course, is the primary tool that the committee uses to try to keep inflation as close as possible to 2%. Well, there was a bit of a cheeky and surprising spike to 3.4% at the very end of last year, which caught some people unawares. Shoup said that there is now an expectation that inflation will come much closer to target over the course of the spring, early summer, and that accordingly there might be another couple of interest rate cuts over the course of this year. There is some debate about the extent of how many cuts there might be and the pace of that. But today the expectation is, taking into account the inflation rate and indeed the relatively poor state of the UK economy and growth conditions and the labour market, that they will hold interest rates steady for now.
Should we go to the motor sector? Which bank is setting aside even more money for these so-called finance scandal claims?
Yes, as our listeners will recall, we spent a fair bit of time talking about the motor finance scandal, Nick, when people were missold the commission on the deals that they had taken out finance on to buy new cars, and they weren't informed that part of the cost was going to be a commission that went to someone else. Anyway, after a huge amount of back and forth in the courts and the regulators that even the government got involved in, there is now a compensation scheme, a redress scheme. Nobody's going to be able to retire on the kind of sum of money that they might get if they successfully claim compensation. We're talking about, you know, hundreds of pounds rather than anything more life-changing. But cumulatively, added all up, it's billions for the banking and lending sector. Santander, who had their results out this week, have included a line in those results saying that they will make nearly half a billion pounds worth of provision to potentially compensate motorists. They had previously earmarked about 300 million for this redress scheme, but they're increasing that by about another 200 million pounds as they brace for the city regulator to finalise its rules. So there are all sorts of schemes out there and plenty of chances, by the way, who are going to try and scam people and nudge people into going with them to claim their relatively modest compensation. But the best way is any official route.
That's driving of one scandal, one area. What about trying to drive people back to work? How's that getting on?
Yes, so Charlie Mayfield is undertaking a big review of how to get people who are off long-term sick back into work. This is the former John Lewis boss who's taken this role on for the Labour government. And he's constantly now coming out with interesting observations as he conducts his review of the state of things. It's worth bearing in mind that there are about 2.8 million people in the UK are out of work as a result of ill health, Nick. That is 800,000 more than in 2009. And hundreds of thousands of them are relatively recent graduates as well. Now, what Charlie Mayfield said is that of all the things that he's looking at to try to get people off sickness benefits and back into work, he says he does encounter some problems. Often this problem is exacerbated by HR teams, he says. He says when an employee is signed off sick with stress, for example, which is not uncommon, he says it would be quite common for people in HR to say to people within the business, for goodness sake, don't call that person. They're off sick with stress. If you can't make the situation worse, you could expose us to all sorts of legal risk if you call them or email them, don't. And that sort of risk-averse, HR-driven mindset in particularly big institutions and the public sector, Charlie Mayfield said, it's just putting people in isolation, and they're getting forgotten about, and there's fear, he says, creating distance between people, and no one's really able to check in on them and bring them back into the world of work. So that's one of many problems that he's looking at, but I think it's quite an interesting one.
Okay. On the work front, I was at a lunch with one of your senior colleagues yesterday, and I got a copy of City AM, and I've written some snappier headlines. I do ask him to pass it on to you. I am available for headline writing courses, Christian. And finally, not making the headlines in the papers, but making full-page ads in some of them, an advertisement taken out by Paramount. What's the latest with that financial drama?
Well, it is a drama, and I, for one, would watch it on any streaming platform that cares to put it together down the line. Netflix has proposed $82 billion to take over Warner Brothers Discovery. Paramount crashed the party, you remember, and said, we'll give you $100 billion and we'll buy a bit more while we're at it. This is now rumbling on, and it hit the US Senate yesterday, where senior Netflix executives were answering questions from Democrats and Republicans on the Antitrust Committee. That's the sort of competition watchdog committee, who had concerns about what this would do to competition and consumer choice in America if any of these two firms were to merge. It was quite a punchy exchange, actually. You had Republican senators accusing Netflix of producing content which is overwhelmingly woke, and seeing Netflix executives try to push back against that. Meanwhile, you know, the battle to take over, Warner Brothers continues, and Paramount to that end have taken out huge adverts across parts of the British media today. A rather large statement. You'd think their creative department could have done something better with it, but it's just a load of text from David Edison, the chairman and CEO of Paramount, reassuring the British creative community and film lovers that if they are successful in their bid for Warner Brothers Discovery, they would increase creative output, they would look after jobs, they would guarantee theatres and movie theatres continue to be the place for release, etc. It's a big public relations campaign. Is it going to swing the dial from Netflix, from Warner Brothers shareholders away from Netflix to Paramount? I don't know, but it shows you that the stakes are very high and that they're trying to influence all corners of the debate.
Yep, only time will tell on that. Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, thanks for your input on that. Now we'll come back. Paul, you're going to be the next caller on our conversation about matters political. But let's go to the sport arena just briefly, and I don't know about you, but you can stick your Super Bowl, and I don't care about the Winter Olympics, because the biggest sporting tournament on the planet kicks off tonight. I refer, of course, to the Rugby Union Six Nations kicking off a day early because of those Winter Olympics, and with a difference. ITV will show adverts during play in Let's coverage in a landmark moment for TV broadcasting of sport in the country. It's called Picture in Picture. The promotions will take up half the screen in an L shape, so viewers will see both the advertising and what's happening on the field of play, but audio will be devoted to the advert rather than the commentary. Already companies such as Samsung and Virgin Atlantic have signed up, but what will it mean for the game? Well, as I find any excuse I can think of to bring Nigel Owens onto the programme, this seems a perfect opportunity. The former International Rugby Union referee retired after a glittering 17-year career. The best bloke I've ever seen ref a game in my life joins me now. What change will it make, boss? Morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. How are you? Yeah, it's a big change, isn't it? My understanding, though, Nick, is there's a couple of things I think to think about is, as you just mentioned there, for me, the biggest tournament in, apart from the World Cup, Six Nations is the biggest tournament. Yep. I always believe this should be available to everybody to watch, and it should be one of the crown jewels, in my opinion. So think about that for a minute. We have got it on BBC and on ITV, so it's available to everybody, which is a good thing.
Yep.
Now, probably with that, there comes a cost, I guess, and part of that probably would be the reason of these advertisements, I would think. Now, my understanding is that the advertisements, this will only happen once in the first half.
Yes.
And once in the second half.
Yes.
It's not going to happen, as some people have been thinking, every stoppage, because if there's a lot of knock-ons, there's going to be a lot of scrums, there's going to be a lot of adverts, I can tell you. So,
it's the start of the slippery slope, sir.
Well, as long as they stick to that, Nick, I think. The only downside is, in those moments, sometimes there is important conversation said by the referee about something to a player, a warning or something in downtime, which is vital for how the game unfolds, if there's going to be a warning for a yellow card. So if you're not hearing the audio during this, you will miss out on that. So it's important, I think, so the commentators then will say, well, this happened in that break. So as long as this one, I think we're going to have to see.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not a fan of it. I'm not sure if I am, but let's see how it pans out.
I mean, it has to be said, Nigel, that I've been there, and sometimes the amount of time it takes for a scrum to actually take place, it's longer than some of my relationships. So if there is a... And I'm almost not joking. I mean, God knows what you're all talking about down there, but I can see why the advertisers are diving in.
Well, I'm sure I saw something that you got married not long ago, so I'm glad that's going well.
I give it till Christmas, Nigel, but I'm not telling you which one.
Well, look, that is the thing. There will be a stoppage. There will be a downtime. There could be an injury before they set up the scrum. So I don't think it's going to be a big issue as people are concerned, but we'll find out a bit tonight when it's a big, big game to kick off the Six Nations.
You are the rugby expert. No one knows better than you. The way it's set up, it would appear to be that they think the final game will come down to who wins the whole thing. Could be France v England. Do you see them as the top two teams? Is there still life in Ireland? Never write off Scotland. Probably won't talk about Wales. Nigel?
No, thank you, Nick. I think, for me, the Six Nations is big on if you're playing home, and Ireland and England have got to go to France. I don't think Ireland quite are the team that they've been. England are a very, very good team. And if they were playing France in Twickenham this year, I would have been saying it would be England's Grand Slam. But they've got to go to Paris. So I think that could be the difference. And if I had to put 50 pence on it, I'd be putting it on France.
All right, I'll have that 50p bet with you. And if I win, it will go to charity, and I'm sure the same with you. Great speaking with you, buddy. Look after yourselves. Thank you. Nigel Owens, former International Rugby Union ref, retired too soon after a 17-year career. Amazing bloke to see in action. We'll go a minute late to news so we get one more call in on the events of the day. Paul is in Heathrow. Paul, where does the Mandelson, or indeed Starmer, story go next? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. It's only going to go a little way. It's not going to go much further. So I'll tell you the reason why. It's because how long's Mandelson been around in politics?
40-something years.
40-something years. Do you seriously think, being as that man is a prolific keeper of records and diaries and everything like that, he has scandal on every single person in Parliament?
But he's tarnished, Paul. I mean, it was only last week that the BBC was still wheeling him out on various radio programmes, but no one will go near Mandelson now.
It makes no difference, Nick. It will still be a story, and a story in your world is a story. If he's got something on somebody, you can bet your life he's got it on Blair, Brown, everybody. He's got it on everybody. Every person that in high society that he's come across, he's got it. As it stands at the minute, you guys are all talking about it, and you've got every right to do so, which is great, but it will soon die a death, and it will just go. And I'm going to say one last thing.
Briefly, if Starmer
goes, isn't it going to be very ironic that Rachel from accounts is going to stay?
Paul, thank you, and thanks. Hang on the line. More coming in on that. Plus, later in the show, I should say, six Palestine activists whose raid on an Israel-based defence firm left a policewoman with a fractured spine have been cleared of aggravated burglary. This is them in action. Complete with sledgehammers and being confronted by security guards. And they got off? More on that in the next hour. 7:46, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer's under growing pressure from his own MPs over his handling of the Peter Mandelson and Jeffrey Epstein scandal. An email released as part of the Epstein files appears to confirm a photo of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and Virginia Giuffre is real, and the Bank of England's expected to keep interest rates at 3.75% this lunchtime. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, heavy showers in the south of England, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne. It's after an accident and two lanes are closed. Also delays on the M25 clockwise from Junction 22 at London Coney to 23 at South Mimms. And that's where a lorry's broken down. The M25 is also very busy on the Surrey stretch from Junction 13 at Staines to 10 at the A3. And that was after an accident that happened earlier. Very busy on the M40 southbound to the M25. It's all down to an accident where one lane is closed for recovery. On the train, Southeastern services are at a standstill between Maidstone East and Ashford International, and also Southern trains are delayed by about half an hour to Watford Junction and Clapham Junction.
This is LBC.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of... Pucker Herbal Tea. Ah, pucker. Nothing beats nature.
Call
Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
You know that feeling when your money is working for you? No? Well, make it. Open an investment account at XTB, make your first deposit and receive a free Rolls-Royce stock.
Rolls-Royce?
That's right. Own one of the best performing UK stocks this year for free. And if you like it, you can easily buy more stocks and ETFs with 0% commission. Join XTB and let your money work for you.
Your capital is at risk. Investments above €100,000 are charged at 0.2% commission. FX fees may apply. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as WhatCar's best family electric SUV of the year. And did we mention that the smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous WhatCar award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
9 minutes before eight. Now, the Prime Minister will be in Sussex later today talking about how Britain is stronger as a tolerant, decent and respectful country. And in a conversation concerning that, we're going to hear how something called Pride in Place is to allow more money to be handed to neighbourhoods and to join about trying to bring about community-led transformation. So let's go to the latter of those two conversations and bring in Steve Reid, who's Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, and joins me now. So what is it? Tell us a little bit more about Pride in Place, if you would, Secretary of State, and how it works. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. It's good to be back on your show. Congratulations on your new viewer-listener figures.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank
impressive.
You.
Very impressive. Yep. Pride in Place is a programme that the government has announced to help those parts of the country that have been held back the most, that have declined the most over recent decades. You've got areas where, you know, a once thriving high street, where people used to go to meet friends, to have a cup of coffee, to go shopping. Instead, what they see today is shops that are boarded up, metal grills, graffiti, dump rubbish. And it says something to them about who they are, that they have no pride left in the places that they belong to, and they want it back. So what this government's doing is we've announced 250 places so far that will be getting up to £20 million each over 10 years. That's the most money that most of those areas have had in a generation. But the most interesting part about what we're doing with that is we are allowing local people to take the decisions about how that money gets spent. The insight, of course, is it's local people themselves that know best what needs to change in their area. So there will be boards of local residents, business people coming together to take decisions about how they want to spend that £20 million to put pride back in the heart of their own communities.
Secretary of State, has this got shades of the so-called broken window policy?
It does have shades of that, but it goes deeper than that. You know, it's like people feel a profound sense of loss. You know, I've been to towns up and down the country where you go to the town centre or the shopping parade And people will tell you, well, we used to come here and we used to go, there used to be a pub on the corner, there used to be a cafe there, there used to be a row of shops here. And now look at it, and they're despairing about it. And if we want people, we can't, there's no point politicians like me going around and talking about how we want to renew the country if people don't see and feel that renewal on their own doorstep. So this is about putting money in people's pockets so they can take action for themselves. Now, we know that when you do that, the broken windows line, it was from when Giuliani was yep. mayor of New York, of yep. course, which is if you fix the visible problems, you actually get a reduction in things like crime. People tend to be more successful in those areas. I subscribe to all of that. It's proven to work, and this should make a big difference to those communities.
How do these communities, how do these good folk get their hands on the cash, Secretary of State?
Well, the funding is going to local authorities, but the councils can't spend it themselves. They have to work with local MPs. They have to set up a board of local representatives. The board will engage with the wider community, and they'll take decisions for themselves. Quite interesting, the first 150... the first 75 have come back, having done their consultation. 80% of them want to use the money to upgrade high streets. They could do anything, and they can bring empty shops back into use. They can upgrade parks and green spaces, but 80% of them are focused on high streets. There's something very iconic about the high street being the heart of the town and people feeling that heart has been ripped out.
Okay, I mean, if I take you to an area you know well, Croydon, that has a crime rate that is 18% higher than the UK national average. So I could say, physician, heal thyself. What are you doing in Croydon?
Well, that's right. And
well, it is one, right. One so you're preaching Croydon. To the rest of the country, and look at Croydon, your patch.
Yeah, well, I don't run Croydon, of course. I'm the
MP. You don't run it, but you're the MP for Croydon. Croydon North.
When I did run a council, violent crime plunged by one-third in 18 months mm-hmm. because we took exactly this kind of approach. What we did was we gave local
people... What's happening
people
in Croydon now, then?
Well, they're going to, Croydon is getting some of the Pride in Place funding, so local people there will be able to take decisions about how they want it spent.
Right.
That's exactly what I did when I was leader of Lambeth Council, when we gave more decision-making powers right. to the communities that were affected by violent youth crime. Their insights were better than politicians, and they cut violent youth offending by a third in 18 months. I want to see that happen everywhere.
All right, let's move to the broader conversation. I'm grateful for your input on that. If we're talking about decision-making, what are we to make of a Prime Minister who decided to appoint Peter Mandelson to the role in Washington, knowing he'd maintained links with Jeffrey Epstein after he was convicted of sex crimes? What does that say of his decision-making?
I think what it says, first and foremost, is that Peter Mandelson's lying and yes. deception was absolutely outrageous.
I agree, but what does it say of the PM's decision-making?
Well, the PM was lied to, like all of us, by Peter Mandelson. He deceived the media, he deceived the victims.
The Prime Minister knew that Lord Mandelson had maintained a friendship with Epstein after his conviction, his sex conviction, sexual crime. I ask again. So, Mandelson is a liar, we all know that. What does that say about the Prime Minister's decision-making ability?
Well, the documents that detail this will be published, but Mandelson made out that his relationship with Epstein was next to nothing, that they barely knew each other, that they didn't have an ongoing relationship, and there was a full vetting process that was gone through. The detail of that will now be published
when
so everybody can see.
When did the full vetting process take place?
When he was appointed ambassador to the United States.
The so full that documentation took place prior to his documentation.
That documentation will now be published. When the Prime Minister found out the truth, he sacked Peter Mandelson as the UK's ambassador.
I'm sorry.
He phoned him up at 5 a.m. in the morning and kicked him out of the job.
But Mr.
And that was
Mr.
a decisive
Reed.
Action, the right thing to do.
Mr. Reed, this is supposedly a forensically skilled barrister who stands in the House of Commons and says to about someone, he lied and lied and lied and lied. He's a barrister. His whole skill set is to find out when people are lying in the court. Why is he unable to do that with such crucial appointments?
You're only as good as the information you received.
And he was told that the friendship continued.
Mandelson made out that relationship was barely existed, that they hardly knew each other. There was a vetting process that included the security forces as well, and they flagged up no additional concerns.
The truth
the documentation
is,
will be published. A liar is going to lie. What you need to look
and
at
a barrister
is what
gonna
people
find
do when
the
they
truth,
find out
Mr.
someone's
Reed.
Been lying to them.
The truth
and the Prime
is,
Minister took decisive action.
The truth is, Mr. Reed.
Sacked him.
The truth is, Mr. Reed, Sir Keir Starmer has become a modern-day John Major, hasn't he? He's in office, but he's not in power.
That's absolutely not true. The Prime Minister sacked Peter Mandelson on the spot when he found out he'd been lied to. It could not have been more decisive. If all of us could tell when a liar was lying, liars wouldn't exist. As soon as the Prime Minister found out, he took action.
He should never have appointed him in the first place. He knew the friendship was still going on. That's what everyone is saying. How big is the revolt, the supposed revolt among Labour colleagues?
I think you've got it in that. You said that's what everyone is saying. We need to look at the documents that will show the extent to which Peter Mandelson was lying. He fooled the media as well, didn't he? He was a pundit regularly on different stations. He was even on LBC. He was on a Times Radio podcast. He's
we don't run the country here, as you're probably aware, Mr. Reid. Fortunately for the United Kingdom.
Yeah, but, you know, he lied to everybody. The point is, what do you do when you find out somebody had lied? The Prime Minister phoned him up at 5 a.m. in the morning months ago and he sacked him. Now we found out further revelations. He's going to pass a law to strip him of the title of a lord, and he's had him removed from the Privy Council with the consent of the King.
Why would there appear to have been initial reluctance to allow the International Security Committee to get involved in this? We talked about damaging international relations. What was the thinking behind that, do you imagine?
Well, the discussion was about the best way to get these documents released as quickly as possible. The Prime Minister proposed that it should be the Cabinet Secretary, who's an independent civil servant, that should
This was the person who didn't investigate in September when a former Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, raised concerns.
There was an investigation and it didn't show anything up. We had a 6-hour debate.
Not according to former Prime Minister.
We had a 6-hour debate in the House of Commons yesterday, and the proposal that the Intelligence and Security Committee would be a good place to do the checking of the documentation was made.
So you honestly
it's a really good suggestion. I supported it as soon as I heard that. I'm glad the government has listened, and that's what they'll now do.
But the
key thing is that we need to get these documents out. But we need to make sure that national security isn't compromised.
Lastly, Keir's attempt to use Sir Chris Warmold, the Cabinet Secretary, to lead the inquiry, someone who was involved in Lord Mandelson's appointment, who failed to follow up fully on a complaint from former Prime Minister Gordon Brown. He's the man who investigates it. What confidence are my listeners meant to have in that?
Well, the Cabinet Secretary is an independent figure, not part of the government.
He was involved in the appointment of Mandelson.
He's the head of the civil service, but the government has accepted the proposal that it should be in the intelligence committee that checks these documents. So that's what will happen. The key thing is we want these documents out as quickly as possible so that you and your listeners and viewers can all see what the Prime Minister saw when Peter Mandelson lied to him.
20 years ago, Tony Blair once said the new Labour project will only be complete when the party came to love Peter Mandelson. Did the party ever love Peter Mandelson? Did you professionally ever love Peter Mandelson, Steve Reid?
Well, Tony Blair couldn't have got that one more wrong, could he? We now see what Peter Mandelson truly is, and he's facing a prosecution, and rightly so.
Grateful for your time, Steve Reid, talking about a total value of £800 million being made available to local people to restore pride and value in their neighbourhood. Steve Reid, Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, thank you. 1 minute after 8, news headlines, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Prime Minister is under growing pressure from his own MPs over the Peter Mandelson scandal. The government's been forced to hand over files on his appointment as US ambassador after a major backlash. Sir Keir Starmer has admitted he knew of Lord Mandelson's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, but says he repeatedly lied about the extent of it. Cabinet Minister Steve Reid has just told Nick the Prime Minister isn't at fault.
Mandelson laid out that his relationship with Epstein was next to nothing, that they barely knew each other, that they didn't have an ongoing relationship, and there was a full vetting process that was gone through. The detail of that will now be published
when
everybody can see.
When did the full vetting process take place?
When he was appointed ambassador to the United States. That documentation will now be published. When the Prime Minister found out the truth, he sacked Peter Mandelson as the UK's ambassador.
I'm sorry.
He phoned him up at 5 a.m. in the morning and kicked him out of the job.
Peter Mandelson has previously denied any wrongdoing. An email released as part of the Epstein files appears to confirm a photo of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and Virginia Giuffre is real. It appears to contradict his claim that he never met her and that the image may have been doctored. Andrew has moved from his home in Windsor to Norfolk following pressure over his ties with Jeffrey Epstein. LBC's Henry Riley has asked these people in Sandringham how they feel about Andrew's move.
It's a pity he's not staying where he was.
So he's not welcome in for a cup of tea?
No.
It's a lovely house.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Well, we come up this way all the time, and we thought we'd just see where Andy's new place is, so we drove past it.
Looks quite a very pleasant and nice place to live.
It's all been blown up. He's a popular guy. He was. He's not so popular now. But that's with the press.
Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor has always strongly denied any wrongdoing. Donald Trump has conceded that federal immigration agents could use a softer touch. 700 of them are now being pulled out of Minnesota. Two US citizens were shot and killed by ICE agents last month. The Bank of England's expected to keep interest rates at 3.75% later. An announcement is due at midday. Some leading economists believe the next cut will come in April if inflation is falling. And the latest audience figures are out. They show LBC reaches a record number of people across the UK, with 3.4 million people now tuning into our stations every week. And 1.4 million of you are choosing Nick Ferrari at breakfast to start your day. So, thank you. In the city, the FTSE 100 just reopened at 10,402. It closed up 87 yesterday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers in southern England, some hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
They were out there. Scammers trying to cash in on Priya's car finance claim. But what they didn't realize is...
unknown number.
She was ready to shut them down.
Not on my watch, scammers. Block.
Mummy, who are you talking to?
Oh, no one, love. Right, come on, off we pop.
Don't rush. Be wary. Protect yourself from scams. Check the facts with the FCA.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 5 minutes after eight on Thursday, the 5th of February. Coming up in this hour, this Prime Minister's speech in Sussex, in which he will talk about the need for Britain to develop as a tolerant, decent and respectful country. We've had sight of it, we'll share of it with you and get some expert views to prompt our conversation. Plus the story that won't go away. And Kemi Badenoch joining us later in this hour. Here's one of the exchanges between her and Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer at PMQs yesterday.
Did the official security vetting he received mention Mandelson's ongoing relationship with the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein?
So clear.
Prime Minister?
Yes, it did.
And a right royal revolt, reportedly even staff at the new premises to which Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor is to be moved, have said they're refusing to serve him. But what are the folks as well?
After fleeing the Royal Lodge in Windsor, the Andrew formerly known as Prince is now settling in Norfolk. But will he get a royal welcome from his neighbours? I'm LBC's Henry Riley in Sandringham.
Plus the extraordinary story, the US news anchor, Savannah Guthrie, whose mother has been abducted, yet there's been no word from her captors or whatever. Give you full detail on the story that's captivating the whole of the US.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Later this morning, the Prime Minister, with all these pressures and problems swirling around him, will go to Sussex and he'll talk about Britain being stronger as a tolerant, decent and respectful country. I imagine it's part of the offering, perhaps, for the upcoming local elections, possibly even might be thought to try and influence what's going on in Gorton, the by-election, later this month. And as part of that, I was speaking with one of his senior colleagues, Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, Steve Reid. Now, Mr. Reid was talking about how 40 new areas will be given access to a total of £800 million worth of cash to help drive improvements in impoverished neighbourhoods, community ideas and initiatives. And I asked him a little bit more about how the cash would be spent and what exactly Pride in Place meant.
Pride in Place is a programme that the government has announced to help those parts of the country that have been held back the most, that have declined the most over recent decades. You've got areas where, you know, once thriving high street, where people used to go to meet friends, to have a cup of coffee, to go shopping. Instead, what they see today is shops that are boarded up, metal grills, graffiti, dump rubbish. And it says something to them about who they are, that they have no pride left in the places that they belong to and they want it back. So what this government's doing is we've announced 250 places so far that will be getting up to £20 million each over 10 years. That's the most money that most of those areas have had in a generation. But the most interesting part about what we're doing with that is we are allowing local people to take the decisions about how that money gets spent. The insight, of course, is it's local people themselves that know best what needs to change in their area. So there will be boards of local residents, business people coming together to take decisions about how they want to spend that £20 million to put pride back in the heart of their own communities.
Secretary of State, has this got shades of the so-called broken window policy?
It does have shades of that, but it goes. I think it goes deeper than that. You know, it's like people feel a profound sense of loss. You know, I've been to towns up and down the country where you go to the town centre or the shopping parade, and people will tell you, well, we used to come here and we used to go, there used to be a pub on the corner, there used to be a cafe there, there used to be a row of shops here, and now look at it, and they're despairing about it.
Well, let's get some expert comment on this and then turn it over to you. Now, I have a copy of what the Prime Minister is scheduled to say. I stress that word because obviously there are a lot of events that are moving at a fast pace. But if he sticks to his script, he says, I love this country. It's the greatest country in the world. The progress and prosperity I've seen throughout my life, the journey I've been on, personally from a working class background to this, I owe everything to this country and its values. I've spent most of my professional life serving them. To James Robinson, who is a former senior Labour communications advisor, now founder of Woburn Partners, who joins me now. James, all right, we don't have the fact that my father was a toolmaker, but is Sir Keir working class, and what is working class? Good morning.
Oh, I didn't... what is working class? Well, that's a job, not a career, isn't it? If you've got a job, not a career, I think that's probably the best, most accurate definition, but people will disagree. Well, who cares if he was working class or not, really? I'm not sure it matters. But he certainly wasn't, a privileged, privately educated guy. That, I mean, I'm not sure people care, really, to be honest. I think what people care about is what you do in government and as Prime Minister, whether you're Boris, Etonian, or Keir Starmer, Comprehensive School.
James, some people are saying this, saying that this is a pitch against reform, that they're trying to bring about some kind of unity as opposed to splitting. I mean, that has echoes of what we heard at the last conference speech, and it didn't do a lot of good up there. Is it going to do any better in Sussex?
Yeah, I know. I think that's right, Nick. I think this is an attempt to draw a dividing line between Farage and reform on one side and Labour and Keir Starmer on the other. Now, that's a political decision, as you rightly say. I'm not totally convinced that that works, because at the end of the day, it's trying to do a sort of Macron in France and say, well, it's me, Macron the moderate, versus, you know, Le Pen, the far-right leader. Well, that isn't really what Nigel Farage is. He's more of a Tory than a far-right leader. And we don't have a presidential system in this country, so it's not the case that you're ever going to choose directly between Starmer and Farage. So, but, you know, it's a strategy, which is a welcome. It's welcome to see some clarity on strategy from the top of the government.
James, are people ready to listen to Sir Keir at the moment? Which even you have to accept he's been damaged by the, quotes, Mandelson affair, James?
Yes, no, of course. I mean, you cannot possibly claim otherwise. I think it's the worst day he's had as Prime Minister. And I think, bluntly, you're right, it's going to be hard for any journalist that's down in Sussex today to ask questions about anything other than Mandelson. Of course, neither of us were born yesterday. We all know that that's how it's going to work. So I'm not sure these words will be... they'll be drowned out by the controversy.
Okay, lastly, you uniquely wear three hats. You were a senior journalist, you were a senior Labour communications advisor, you're now in the world of PR with Woburn Partners. James Robinson, where does the story go next?
We can't know. I mean, but it will go on and go on. I mean, it's not... we haven't got long enough to discuss it in detail, but of course there's more to come out, more from the Epstein files, more documents that will show the extent to which Mandelson misled the Prime Minister. So it's not going anywhere fast, and these stories develop, and there are momentum, and the political ramifications could be huge.
James, good speaking to you. James Robinson, now founder of Woburn Partners, 12 after 8. Listening to that, Leila Cunningham, who is, of course, Reform UK's candidate for Mayor of London, also leader of Reform on Westminster City Council, and therefore a councillor as well, joins me now. Councillor, thank you for coming on. This is the first time we've had a conversation since the announcement, so I hope I can welcome you to the studio at some point to take calls from listeners, and I wish you well in what will be, I'm sure, an interesting contest coming up. If we can refer now to what we'll hear from the Prime Minister. He tried this before with his 2025 party conference speech. He tried to talk about how reform is sort of driving the country apart. People didn't really listen then. How likely is it they're going to listen now? Morning to you.
Hi, morning. Well, they're not going to listen at all, because actually the Mandelson scandal, for me, it's not really about Mandelson, and I think the people as well. It's not just about him. It's about whether Keir Starmer can still be trusted to protect the country, or whether he's too comfortable or his priorities are protecting the inner circle of the Labour Party. We have to ask, why did he override the security advice? What calculation was so important that it justified the risk of giving him the best job in politics? And I think that's what journalists should be focused on. And he can't deflect with, you know, some kind of accusation that reform is divisive as usual, because that doesn't play.
Coming back to your point, noting that he knew that the friendship continued between Mandelson and Epstein, convicted sex offender, convicted of sex trafficking. If you were a female MP serving in the Labour Party, how difficult would you find it to have confidence in a leader and a prime minister who'd allowed an ambassador to continue in place, knowing of that friendship with a convicted sex offender?
Well, woman or man or parent or sister or mother. You know, this is one of the worst paedophiles in my history, who used power and money also to do it. And Mandelson kind of found it acceptable to still be his friend, stay in his house. And our prime minister found that an acceptable trait in someone to appoint as ambassador. How can he be trusted again? You know, Nick, countries, I feel countries get compromised, not necessarily by spies, but they get compromised by people like Starmer, who prioritize his party relationships, and it's bad judgment at the top. And right now we are compromised. It's embarrassing. He's ruined the special relationship, and I don't think he can be trusted to lead the country anymore. And I say this, you know, not with pure joy, because no, I dread what follows.
You say he's spoiled, ruined the special relationship. Of course, we did sign 9 months ago. Lord Mandelson was standing beside Donald Trump, having signed that trade deal.
Yeah, but the Epstein files weren't released yet.
But we still have the trade deal, Councillor. That's not gone.
Well, I mean, Trump can remove it. And what is the trade deal? It isn't even as good as we thought.
I'm grateful for your time, Leila Cunningham. Thank you. You're leader of reform in Westminster City Council. You will be the candidate for the Mayor of London elections. Let's come back to the aspect with which I started this, in that we're going to hear about Sir Keir Starmer's journey, personally from a working-class background to this. Well, it was nearly 3 years ago when, as leader of the opposition, he was talking about being working-class. And I did ask him for a definition. You describe yourself as working class. Sir Keir, define working class.
No, working class is families that, you know, work for their living, earn their money through going out to work every day, not through other
means. Not middle classes do that?
Well, working class families have the ordinary hope to get on in life. I mean, this has been
don't
a story.
Middle classes have that.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do.
So what's the distinction?
People will say to me, "Well, look here, you know, you've come a long way.
Yeah, you went to state school.
Yeah, but that is the ordinary hope of the working class, which is to have a decent education, to get a decent secure job, to get a car, to get a, you know, have a nice holiday, to have.
But isn't that the middle class too, Sir Keir? Everything you just listed? No,
it is. Yeah, it is, and that's why many people go on their life journey from what you might call working class to middle class.
Any clearer? No, me neither. If only I'd asked James Robinson, one of my contributors, former journalist, now founder of Woven Partners. Working class, it's a career, it's a job, not a career. It's a job, not a career. That's the definition. And yet it would appear, unless he changes his script, Sir Keir will bang on about this again. Why? We'll have more after the 8:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, a cabinet minister has rejected suggestions Sir Keir Starmer's job's in danger following an angry backlash over the Lord Mandelson scandal. The Prime Minister will attempt to put questions about Peter Mandelson behind him with a keynote speech about rebuilding pride in communities. And a ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain. Some heavy showers for the south of England, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne. It's following an accident where two of the four lanes are closed. And then on the M25 clockwise, it's slow from Junction 22 at London Coney to 23 at South Mimms. It was after a lorry broke down earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. Slow on the M40 southbound to the M25. That was following an accident. The M4's very busy eastbound to Junction 3 at the A312, and that was after a car broke down earlier. Still very busy southbound southbound over Vauxhall Bridge after an accident. And on the underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo and District lines. And southeastern trains are currently at a standstill southbound towards Ashford International.
This is LBC.
Club card accepted.
Feel the power to lower prices with Tesco Club Card. Get Tesco Finest Sirloin Steak, now £6.40, down from £8. Helping you share the love this Valentine's Day. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores steak, 227 grams, ends 15th February. Club Card or app required.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
Check you're on track for a happy retirement with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Forecasting sun with 100% chance of beach. There's still time to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
You know that guy I've been seeing?
Yeah.
Turns out my sister's been seeing him too.
Oh, really?
And I heard he's been seeing Kelly at number 56. And Dave.
Your brother?
Yep.
Specsavers opticians and audiologists own and run their stores. So your care is their business, which can make them rather popular.
I've got something to tell you. I've got half an hour with him this afternoon.
Specsavers. Your care is our business. Book an appointment today.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down.
Not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with 3 tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come to your calls in just a moment. We should be trying to... I should feature more of that. Matthew, you'll be the first caller. A lot of you reacting to that interview with Steve Reid. Now, he was on to talk about a community project, but obviously we grilled him over what has to be said was Sir Keir Starmer's lamentable performance in the House of Commons. This comes from Keith. Steve Reid is still trying to defend the indefensible. When the inevitable happens, he needs to go as well, because clearly his judgment is also poor. Elliot and Bromley, the release of the Epstein files, all the information and names that have been disclosed, and Keir Starmer should be the one to fall. Are you kidding me? The deflection is startling. I wonder which head of media is forcing that narrative. Ellie, I'll just go really slowly. Ellie, you're talking about a Prime Minister who, knowing that the man had maintained a relationship, a friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, after his conviction, went ahead and okayed him, rubber-stamped him to be our ambassador. Before he did that, he got in, up in Prime Minister's questions and say he had full confidence in Mandelson the day before. If Ellie, if you can't see this speaks to the judgment of the Prime Minister, who will be speaking later today, and let's pick up on that now. Matthew's in Glasgow. Matthew, looking forward to it then today? Going to listen to the radio when he comes on?
No, not really. I'm concerned about his judgment as well, but also about John Swinney's judgment. He stayed with Mandelson when he went to America to try and get the tariffs taken off the Scotch whisky. So that's a question that needs to be asked. The other thing is, I don't know if you're aware, the Scottish Government are fighting in court to make sure that they can send trans women to women's jails as well.
Right, I mean, this is getting a little off the topic here, but just briefly, as you've come on, I'll let you make that point. It's a little away from what we're talking about, but go ahead, sir. Yes, go on.
Yeah, just the biggest belief that what's happening in supposedly Great Britain at the moment is just bonkers.
It is indeed just bonkers. Matthew, a conversation about Scotland probably later, because it is the Prime Minister, and I know he's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, that we are talking about, particularly this idea of being working class. Thanks, Matthew. Let's pick up on that. This comes in. Oh, do remember to sign. You don't want me to give your name, and I understand this, but here we go. I earn £200,000 a year, and I'm 68. I've scrimped and saved my whole life, and I now have a circa £5 million nest egg. I am working class. According to Keir's definition, he's forcing him to think about leaving the country for 190 days a year. Simon says, leave Keir Starmer alone. He's the best Conservative Prime Minister we've ever had. A true blood Oxford Street Edmund Hall University gentleman. But of course, he makes much of the fact that he did, just to remind you, go to a private school, although it's now Reigate, go to a state school, although it's now, of course, Reigate Grammar. It was not of his fee-paying school, so it's important to do that. This is an interesting one from Danny. If Keir Starmer is in Sussex today, I wonder if he'll drop into Crowborough to see how things going. Well, for bizarre security reasons, which I will respect, I'm not allowed to tell you which part of Sussex he's in, but I think it's safe to say he's not going to Crowborough, and those of you who live in and around Crowborough will probably know why. We'll return to that conversation in a moment. Now to another story, and I wonder if you, like me, saw some of this footage on your TV screens tonight. Last night, as six Palestine Action activists broke into an Israeli-linked defence firm in Bristol. Dressed in red boiler suits and some of them with sledgehammers, they were confronted by security guards. The raid was, as I say, on an Israeli-based defence firm's UK site, and it left a policewoman with a fractured spine. But all six have been cleared of, extraordinarily it would seem to me, have been cleared of aggravated burglary. All six faced trial at Woolwich Crown Court over allegations they used or threatened unlawful violence and used sledgehammers as weapons after a prison van was driven into the factory. Each member of the group was acquitted of aggravated burglary, while jurors found some, I'll give you the names in a moment, not guilty of violent disorder. It's possibly worth mentioning the jury deliberated for 36 hours, actually more than 36 hours, and could not reach a verdict on charges of criminal damage against all six defendants. But let's drill down to this idea of aggravated burglary and bring into the conversation Kate Bex, who is a KC and criminal barrister at Red Lion Chambers, specialising in manslaughter and other serious crimes, and joins me now. Thank you very much for coming on. Can you define what are the terms of an aggravated burglary? Good morning.
Good morning. So in this case, what the prosecution sought to prove was that having entered as trespassers, they intended to intimidate or use violence using the sledgehammers that they had taken in with them in order to cause damage to the property. So they had to prove a pre-existing agreement and intent if the need arose to intimidate or use violence.
Kate, why would I go into a factory or premises with a sledgehammer?
Because they wanted to smash up the equipment. That's specifically what they have said they wanted to do. That was their intention, was to break up the equipment.
That's not an aggravated burglary.
That's not an aggravated burglary. It's criminal damage, which they admitted.
So to make the charge of aggravated burglary, what they'd have had to almost conspire, would they? And to say, right, anybody who gets in our way, we're going to clobber them or something. How would it have
worked? The conspiracy is simply an agreement, but what the prosecution weren't able to prove was that they intended to use those weapons not to smash up property, but to intimidate people or to use violence on people. And that's what the jury weren't sure.
I appreciate you weren't on the jury and you're not involved in the judgment. Have you been able to have sight of the video?
I have seen it.
Yeah.
I'm very much aware that is a clip of body worn. It's part of it. It's certainly not the whole of the evidence. It's not everything that the jury will have seen.
So you're far better versed in these matters than I am. But aren't you mildly surprised?
No.
Really? Not, I mean, a police officer had her back broken.
Absolutely. And that is a separate offence, and that's one that the jury couldn't agree on. So at least some of the jury were satisfied so that they were sure that the offence of causing GBH had happened and rejected self-defence. But others were not sure that the prosecution had proved that self-defence did not apply. So there'll almost certainly be a retrial on that count. So it's important to make the point that defendant, male defendant, has not been found not guilty.
I see.
Of that.
Okay.
And that is undoubtedly a lumbar spine fracture, a very serious injury.
Horrific. And even that footage that you've seen, foul language, I mean, you're not going to get convicted for foul language.
No.
Holding a flare and sledgehammers and sort of waving them at a security guard, there's no aggravation there.
Well, the jury saw the whole of the evidence. Yeah, sure. They heard all of it, and they were not sure that the prosecution had proved that what they intended to do was, in fact, always use the sledgehammers to intimidate or use violence on people rather than their primary motivation, which was smashing up equipment.
And now to your expert legal knowledge. Sorry, what happens now then? There are still some outstanding charges, are there, lastly?
So the presumption in every case is that there will be at least one retrial. And so I'd be surprised if there wasn't a retrial in this case. So there can't be a retrial on charges where the defendants have been found not guilty. Okay. So there can't be a retrial on aggravated burglary or violent disorder against the three of the six that were acquitted of violent disorder. But there absolutely can be a retrial on the other three of violent disorder, criminal damage, and the causing grievous bodily harm.
Grateful for your time as ever, Kate Beck. Thank you. You are a KC. You're a criminal barrister at Red Lion Chambers. Obviously, far greater legal knowledge I get anywhere near, but that does seem strange. A female police officer is left with a broken back. They wave sledgehammers in the faces of people, but it's not aggravated burglary. You might have views on that. Graham's in Clacton to tell me about Sir Keir Starmer and his speech later today. How are you looking forward to it then? Good morning.
I think he's doing a brilliant job, Nick.
Who?
I think Keir Starmer's doing a good job. The Labour Party's doing a good job. If you look around and
you
look
for the good...
I'm dead serious, mate. You look around, this country is improving. Yes, the world economy's in a mess at the moment, but things are getting better in the country.
Why are they doing so badly in the polls?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, you said something to a chap before where you said... Well, unfortunately, we don't run the country. Well, no. Unfortunately, you do. You have an awful lot of power.
I don't run the country.
No,
dear
no, no.
God.
The media have got an awful lot of responsibility.
But we don't influence the polls. Why are they doing so appallingly in the polls?
Because the media, you do, Nick, whether you like it or not, the media are destabilising our country.
Well, hold on. The number of unemployed has just hit an 11-year high. The media's not involved in that.
No,
that's the incompetence. That's the incompetence of this government putting measures in the budget concerning national insurance, which meant that a lot of people have lost their jobs.
Artificial intelligence is what's making that. And by the way, it's going to go up even more.
Not AI, NI. You got it wrong. It's national insurance, not AI. It was Rachel Reeves' disastrous budget that's cost jobs, with unemployment going, apparently, the country doing so well at an 11-year high. That's the reality.
You had a chap on last week, Nick, that said within the next 10 years, there's going to be serious problems with unemployment because of AI taking over jobs now already.
Right.
That's a fact. Let's get the facts out, Nicky.
All right, great to have you on, Graham. You and I respect your position. There's no point going, I just don't think we're going to agree on this, but you have yourself a safe day, Graham, and we have to get to the news. And coming up after the news, Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch on fine form during the PMQs yesterday.
How can he stand up there saying that he knew, but he just asked Peter Mandelson if the security vetting was true or false? Yeah. This is a man who had been sacked from cabinet twice already for unethical behaviour.
Kemi Badenoch joins us after the 8:30 news here on LBC. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari. Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
A cabinet minister has denied that Sir Keir Starmer is in danger of losing his job over the Lord Mandelson scandal. Steve Reid has told Nick that Peter Mandelson repeatedly lied over his ties with Jeffrey Epstein when given the post of US ambassador. The Prime Minister will attempt to put the Peter Mandelson saga behind him later with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities. Sir Keir Starmer will look to stress that the government's work in tackling the cost of living is vital to the nation's security. And a ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force this morning. The change comes after it was revealed some migrants were travelling long distances, costing hundreds of pounds. LBC weather, cloudy for most with some outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers developing in the south of England later, hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
The Prime Minister appointed a man to one of the most senior roles in the British diplomatic hierarchy, a man that he knew had been in an ongoing relationship with a paedophile financier. Starmer is right to be angry, but why on earth would the Prime Minister choose to appoint this man knowing what he knew at the time? I find that really quite astounding.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
How does a $20 golf gadget end up being used as a bomb detector in war zones worldwide?
I'm Alice Levine, and this is Explosive Lies, the podcast exposing a scam that fooled governments and security services across the globe. Open our free Global Player app and search Explosive Lies to start listening today.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Every day, the noise gets louder. Deadlines tighter, commutes longer, opinions stronger. And social media fakes get harder to spot. You need concise, verified, easy access to the stories that matter. You need the Bulletin app. Trusted news from The Independent in a simple, bite-sized format. Download Bulletin today on iOS or Android. Bulletin. Trusted news for seriously busy people.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:34. Well, the reviews are in for one senior politician at yesterday's Prime Minister's Questions. For the Daily Mail, punctured perhaps beyond repair, Sir Keir deflated before our eyes. Kemi kept bayonetting him. From Labour MPs, a cold, sinister silence. And even The Guardian, John Crace writing, better not keeps it simple for once, and leaves the PM muttering a jumble of excuses. That politician, Kemi Badenoch, joins me now. Thank you for coming on. Good to have you on. When, on the third time of asking, you finally nailed the Prime Minister about his knowledge concerning Lord Mandelson's friendship with Epstein after the latter's conviction, you weren't able to say what you were thinking, but can I ask you, what went through your mind?
I was gobsmacked. I always had a strong suspicion that he did know, but I didn't think we would get that information until we saw all the papers. But clearly, he knew that he was going to have to release all the papers and just wanted to get it out early. And I'm really pleased that I was able to force him to make that confession, but also that the Conservative team, it's not just me, I'm not a one-man band, that the Conservative team had worked out exactly how we would get those papers out using the humble address. And I made sure to ask those Labour MPs, do you want to be part of this cover-up or do you want to do the right thing? And I'm really glad that that it worked.
Where do you see it going next?
Well, I think that there's so much more to come. I think that those papers are going to show all sorts of terrible decision-making and bad judgment by the Labour government. I think Keir Starmer is only going to get into more trouble. I think Morgan McSweeney is probably toast. I'm amazed he's still in the job. He was Peter Mandelson's protege. He was the one who pushed for this appointment and must have seen all of the vetting. He's been controlling the lives of a lot of Labour cabinet ministers, who gets sacked, who doesn't get sacked. I'd be amazed if he continued in the job.
It's worth noting the fifth of your six questions yesterday concerned passing all these details over to the Intelligence and Security Committee. That subsequently has taken place. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Badenoch, can you give my listeners an idea, why that is important, B, what it means, and C, when we might hear the report back?
So what Starmer tried to do was say, well, we'll release all papers except anything to do with national security and international relations, which, of course, would mean everything. So I made the recommendation that we send them to this Intelligence and Security Committee. It's backed by legislation, got only the most senior politicians on it. It's very secret. but it's MPs and peers and Lords, they can look at it and then decide whether it's true that these are national security issues or not. I suspect they'll find they won't be. The committee, I think, will move reasonably quickly, but it's not going to be overnight. But they should get everything. That's the most important thing. It's that they get everything and then decide what needs to be kept apart.
There was an interesting involvement from London's Metropolitan Police in blocking the government from releasing some documents. It's made not. Can you interpret why that is and your view of the Met's actions?
So I think that's a separate issue. The Met is looking at misconduct in public office on the part of Peter Mandelson, potential criminal activity and so on. But what we're asking for is things mainly to do with the vetting of, and the appointment of Peter Mandelson. Now, some of those documents may overlap. Some of those documents may overlap. But my suspicion is that there should still be enough that should not prejudice any case, but that will let us know exactly how Peter Mandelson was appointed and why and who was behind it.
Can I put it to you, and I've put this to Steve Reid, one of Sir Keir's senior colleagues. This reminds me of Norman Lamont, now Lord Lamont, on John Major, Sir John Major, in office but not in power. Isn't that the reality with our Prime Minister now, Mrs. Badenoch?
It is the reality, and it has been so for a very long time. It has been so since that welfare vote where he chickened out and couldn't make very tiny minor changes to welfare in hock to his backbenchers. And let's remember, this man has a majority of about 160. That's about twice what Boris Johnson had when people said Boris Johnson had a landslide. He should be able to do whatever he wants. And he cannot because he has no agenda. He's had multiple resets, multiple changes, endless U-turns, U-turn after U-turn. You don't know whether what they're announcing in the morning is still going to be there by nighttime. So, no, he's not governing. He's not governing. And I'm going to be saying more about that later today.
You sense there could be more trouble on the way. Obviously, nobody knows because we don't have the files. But where are you looking? What areas are you looking at, Mrs. Badenoch?
Well, it's a gut instinct. Usually, when people are trying to cover something up, it's because there's more to a situation than meets the eye. There are more details that will come out which they would rather were not in the public domain. That's why I think that there's more to come. Exactly what, who, where, how? I'm not so sure. I'm pretty sure Morgan McSweeney will be implicated, but who else? Exactly when the Prime Minister made certain decisions, we're not sure. But what I did see yesterday when he was standing at PMQs was a man who knew he was in trouble and couldn't hide it.
Well, on a human level, I have to say the man was shaking. And on a human level, that's a pretty unedifying sight. Is that I know you're political foes, but that's an unedifying sight, Mrs. Badenoch.
Yes, that's right. It's not something that you like to see because, yes, as you say, we're political opponents, but he's still the Prime Minister. He's the Prime Minister of our country. And no matter how difficult the politics are, you don't want the Prime Minister to fail because it's bad for all of us. And that's what I was thinking. And it's interesting. I'd asked him similar questions back in September, and that was what led to Peter Mandelson sacking in the first place. But he had an opportunity between September and yesterday to put information out there, and he didn't do that. That was an error of judgment.
Many people are saying we have a sort of modern-day Profumo affair, which you might have studied in history. You wouldn't have been around, but I'm sure you're aware of its political ramifications.
Yes.
And indeed, Sir Ed Davey talked about the possible links between Epstein and Russia. Could you see that being one of the, to use your words, one of the other troubles, Mrs. Bateman?
I do think that it's very plausible. A lot of those pictures that I was looking at, and this is just my own personal speculation, they don't look like holiday snaps. They look like pictures that were taken by someone who was not letting the subjects know that he was taking photos, or he or she was taking photos. That feels a bit murky. And so many of the emails that are coming out from the Epstein files appear to show that he did have links to the Russians. Whether or not we can substantiate those remains to be seen. But I do think that we need to ask a lot of serious questions. This goes well beyond his own convictions around child prostitution and trafficking and paedophilia. There is a lot more that makes this a huge scandal. And what Peter Mandelson was doing in government, forwarding emails, those were, those, in my view, were acts of misconduct.
The Prime Minister is going to make an address in Sussex later today. He is scheduled to say, with events this could change, I love this country, it's the greatest country in the world. the progress and prosperity I've seen throughout my life. This is, as it's announced, unemployment is at an 11-year high, Mrs. Bavenock.
Yes, I know. It's a speech for someone who's living in La La Land. Things have not been going well. It is quite clear. The budget for benefits, which they announced in November, was received like a cup of cold sick. Pubs are kicking Labour MPs out of their, you know, out of their establishments. I've even heard hairdressers are refusing to do their hair. It's very bad for them. And if he thinks that he can give another speech where he criticises all the other political parties and says they're the best thing around, I think that people are going to give it very short shrift.
Just to broaden out the conversation for the last minute or so, of course, this has called into question the role of the House of Lords or the upper chamber. Lord Mandelson has elected, of course, to stand down and he'll be stripped. But what is the Conservatives' view going forward, when, if and when the Conservatives come back to power, what is the role of the House of Lords? What reform might you be thinking of?
So I have always believed that if you've been convicted of a criminal offence, you should not be a legislator. In the House of serious criminal offences, that is the case in the House of Commons. But in the Lords, it is not the case. You can go to prison for 10 years and rock up in your seat, taking the money and so on. I think that that is a reform that we should start looking at. I don't think we should remove people just on the basis of allegations. And of course, Peter Mandelson's investigations are only just beginning. But I do think that there does need to be some reform. Keir Starmer has focused on hereditary peers. Those are actually some of the people doing the hardest work. They work very hard. That's not really going to make the House of Lords any better. We need to stop putting cronies in there and people who are using it to actually enrich themselves. Peter Mandelson used that title as a way of, you know, opening doors when he was out of government. That's not what the House of Lords is there for.
Amid the political storm, we learnt yesterday that the photograph that seems to show Andrew Mountbatten Windsor with one of his accusers, Virginia Giuffre, the woman who sadly took her life, is a genuine photograph. Sir Keir Starmer has said Andrew Mountbatten Windsor needs to testify or address this. What's your message to him?
Well, I think that where there are questions to answer, people need to answer them. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is no longer a royal. He's been stripped of his titles. He shouldn't be treated differently from anyone else.
Lastly, do you imagine Sir Keir will be sending out Christmas cards from number 10 this year?
I would be surprised if he. I would be surprised if he was.
What's the timeline?
We will have a Labour government till 2029. Of that, I'm sure. But yesterday, I saw Labour MPs looking really, really ill, having to sit behind Keir Starmer. I don't think they want him anymore. It's a matter of when now, I think.
Any idea when?
No. That's only the Labour. It's up to Labour MPs. Only they know. Only they can control that. But they need to ask themselves, what exactly have they been delivering for this country over the last 18 months? It's nothing but misery. That's all they've delivered.
Thanks for your time this morning. Kemi Badenoch, leader of the Conservative Party, joining us after that PMQ's performance and referencing, of course, events concerning Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. LBC's Henry Riley has been patrolling that area to find out what people make of their incoming neighbour.
Everybody, to a certain extent, serves a second chance. But he has to man up and own up to what he's done.
Don't like him. Don't want him here.
No?
No, don't want him around here.
The good folk of Norfolk having their say. Henry Riley's report will follow this. It's just at 8:46 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, has told Nick that she thinks Sir Keir Starmer is only going to get into more trouble over his handling of the Peter Mandelson scandal. The Prime Minister will attempt to put the Lord Mandelson saga behind him later with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities. And the Bank of England expected to keep interest rates at 3.75% this lunchtime. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers in the south of England, hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne. It's following an accident where two lanes are closed. There are delays on the M25 clockwise to Junction 16 at the M40. And this is also after an accident and one lane is closed for recovery. Severe delays on the M23 northbound to the M25 junction. And that's also after an accident. Very busy southbound over Vauxhall Bridge, although all the lanes are now back open. Also delays on Balsamore Lane in Enfield, westbound just by the A10 junction, a van's broken down, so that's causing queues. On the underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo and District lines, and southeastern trains aren't running southbound from Maidstone East to Ashford International.
This is LBC.
At Tesco Mobile, club card prices are frozen, so your contract price stays on ice. Get the Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra with 25 gigs of data for just £46.99 a month for 36 months with club card prices, saving you a massive £486. And it stays like that for the length of your contract. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 24th of February. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345-6060-973, LBC.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can just switch off. Where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields. Or simply relax with a podcast, playlist or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
When you're smiling...
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead.
I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling.
Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay bi-monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd buy a really nice suit.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I'm rich!
But instead of a suit, you buy a jetpack. And ruin your sister's wedding.
So sorry, I'll go to the land!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10K, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
Everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
We can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973.
Off to Norfolk in a moment, but... sorry, 10 to 9 the time. Off to Norfolk and my colleague Henry Riley in a moment, but this unemployment at 11-year high is a massive story. It would be far bigger if we didn't have the Starmer-Mandelson affair going on. And I was saying that people have lost their jobs to Graham, one of the earlier callers, and if Graham's saying it's all down to AI. No, it's there will be some, but... The jobs are going, like, I mean, here's William. If you think AI isn't affecting the jobs market, you are literally insane. I work in tech, and believe me, nothing has ever been as big a change to jobs as AI. No, I'm sure in your area, sir, yes, but get in and among the hospitality sector. AI has not taken the roles of barmen and barwomen, or waiters, or people who clean hotel rooms. That is the reality. Or restaurants that are closing, or pubs that are closing. When a pub closes, you don't have an AI pub. I'm not saying it's not a factor, but that ludicrous, it is NI, not AI, that is killing off most of the jobs. We might return to that conversation, but we've talked a lot about the disgraced former Prince Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor and the front page story. There's a right royal revolt afoot with staff at his new property. Remember, he moved out a midnight flitter under the cover of darkness from that infamous place in Windsor. But what will his new neighbours make of his arrival? LBC's Henry Riley has voyaged to Norfolk and joins me now. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. You're right. It was in the dead of night on Monday that Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor left his Windsor mansion, the 30-room Royal Lodge, and moved 125 miles northeast, including on the A11, before reaching Sandringham in Norfolk, or specifically Wolferton, a quaint, quintessentially English village. There's only a couple of hundred residents, no shops, but beautiful local sites like the former Royal Railway Station. His local pub is just a six-minute drive away, the Black Horse Castle Rising, and it's a pub which boasts regular royal punters. Even Princes William and Harry have played for that pub's football team. I popped in to see the landlord, John Corbett, who swapped New York for Norfolk, and he told me more.
Because we have the church next door, and they tend to do a circuit there. So when they come, whether it be Edward or Princess Anne, one of them, they tend to pop in and have a drink from time to time.
If Andrew does want to pop by for a pint of beer, he's more than welcome, is he?
As long as he comes with cash, that's not a problem.
And you're probably expecting him in at some point then, right?
I would expect him to pop in at some point, yeah. I mean, with a close proximity to Sandringham, only 5 minutes down the street. So generally speaking, I don't know where else he's going to go. So
yeah,
he's more than welcome here as long as he comes to spend some money.
You think the locals will be all right with him? They have a chat with him or leave him alone, do you reckon?
I think it might be a split decision, but we'll see.
After his royal retreat, Andrew is temporarily living in a property on the King's Estate before soon moving next door to this tiny village, and specifically to live in a much smaller red brick cottage of Marsh Farm. Now, I was standing outside there yesterday, and in the space of a couple of hours, we saw a postman driving to the address, as well as a delivery driver and a roofing specialist. It's understood Marsh Farm won't be ready for a couple of months as it's undergoing renovations, but given Andrew is now in the area, are locals preparing to give their new neighbour a royal welcome? This is what they told me.
Everybody, to a certain extent, serves a second chance. But he has to man up and own up to what he's done. I wouldn't ignore him because I'm not that type of person. I would acknowledge him, but I wouldn't want to get into a conversation with him.
I don't like him. Don't want him here.
No?
No, don't want him around here. No, no one will want him here, especially with the new stuff that's come out.
I think we're totally ambivalent, really. It's... I don't expect, you know, one will see anybody. Mm. Or the only thing I expect we'll notice is perhaps an increased police presence.
We are relaxed. You know, it is what it is. We'll have to wait and see whether he wants to venture further afield.
It's all been blown up. He's a popular guy. He was. He's not so popular now. But that's with the press.
I think my thoughts will stick back to being a school kid, 1982, Falklands War. And at that time, he was a bit of a hero. Obviously, things change, and he is where he is today.
It's a pity he's not staying where he was.
Pity he's not staying where he was.
Yeah.
So he's not welcome in for a cup of tea?
No.
Usually you can hear a pin drop here, but today the Facebook groups are full of gossip. Conversations at local pubs and cafes are growing louder. I went to visit Bridget Nurse, who's a local business owner who sat on the parish council here for 15 years.
The royals are very much part of our history round this area, well, with Sandringham, you know, just on the doorsteps. Lovely. I sort of grew up in a family who were very old-fashioned, and I always remember my mum sort of saying, oh, Randy Andy. I don't know if you can say
that.
But he always has been a bit of a Jack the Lad, and I just think people don't change, and we've all got members of our family who are a bit of a pain.
And it would appear it hasn't exactly been a spiffing start to new surroundings for the former prince. Reports today of a royal revolt and that there's a long list of staff at Sandringham who are now refusing to serve him. Nick, this area very much used to rubbing shoulders with royalty. This particular new resident, though, has questions to answer.
Henry Riley reporting for LBC from Norfolk, 4 minutes before nine. Let's come to your views of Keir Starmer. Joe, you're going to be the next caller. Susie has picked up on a point that I saw, and indeed I mentioned to Kemi Badenoch about 10 minutes or so ago. I feel extremely sorry for Sir Keir Starmer. Seeing his hands shake yesterday really upset me. Yes, on a human level, of course. Of course, it's very unedifying. Tony says Starmer will have to resign soon. He's hated by Labour members and voters. 100,000 members have fled the party under two-tier Keir. Joe's in Tooting. We're going to hear from the Prime Minister later today. What do you hope he might say? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I hope you're well. I just want to, first and foremost, thank you for your searching informative interview with the Minister. I've listened to a lot of people this morning. They've let him off the hook. You really held his feet to the fire. I'm really happy with that. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Well, then, very grateful. Thank you. Only here for you guys, but thank you. On you go, sir.
Yeah, with regards to Labour try to make out the situations better. No, it's a lot worse than. I mean, we've got higher unemployment. There is no investment in our industries. There's no investment in making our growth suddenly materialise, which isn't going to happen under this Labour government because they don't understand business.
No, they don't.
But while I was speaking to your researcher, the thing I wanted to ask about is whether things are better in comparison to where they've been. And it's not specifically regarding...
Just expand a little on that. What's the point you're making there, sir?
Yeah. So, I come from an ethnic minority. When right. I was growing up, there was very, very few people who could afford to, like, buy houses or anything. I mean, yeah. My dad bought one suit, and he took it for all these formal events, and he'd probably be buried in it.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. Whereas before I was 21, I was buying Armani suits. So things have definitely changed in regard to our society. We've become richer, and there's more...
Do you think... I hear you, and I'm delighted for you, but do you think... Though those who have been left behind are even further behind than they were. The divide, i.e., is greater than it has ever been.
I think it's application, Nick. If mm-hmm. people don't want to apply themselves to try and improve their lives, then you can't really blame the government. I'm fair enough, the government's got to give the incentive. The government's got to put in place the tools for people to advance themselves. And this Labour government is not going to do it. This Labour government's a joke. But... Well, frankly, a lot of it's got to be down to self-motivation. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't want to apply yourself. You're not going to become the person you want to be if you're thinking that the government's going to suddenly make it happen for you.
But lastly, if your granddad didn't have a job, your dad didn't have a job, there aren't that many jobs, and your town, effectively, your town centre is charity shops and maybe a supermarket, what do you do then? I'm not saying you're wrong, Joe, but what do you do then?
Unfortunately, Nick, you need to show some sort of self strength and go and find where the work is. You got me. I mean, I live in London. I don't like the fact that
Norman Tebbit once said that to get on your bike, and he never lived it down.
I agree. I totally agree with Mr. Tebbit.
All right. Good speaking with you, Joe. Thanks for your kind words about the show. A couple of emails before we go to some news. Keir Starmer is going to be telling us how he's working class. And I asked again, what makes you working class? Very swift answer from James Anderson, the former journalist who's now at Wimbledon Partners. It's when you've got a job, not a career. Elizabeth in North London was listening. That contributor's summation of working class was perfect. A job or a career? I was typing it and I was about to send it to you. Oh, of course you were. Same subject, Ian in Peterborough. Remember, Starmer was the man who wanted Boris Sack for eating cake and Sunak for not wearing a seatbelt. And he was the man who was going to clean up politics. Pretty tawdry now, isn't it? Let's stay with that part of the conversation. I asked the leader of the Conservatives, Kemi Badenoch, will Sir Keir Starmer still be sending out cards this Christmas?
We will have a Labour government till 2029, of that I'm sure. But yesterday, I saw Labour MPs looking really, really ill, having to sit behind Keir Starmer. I don't think they want him anymore.
Plus the extraordinary story of the abduction of a TV anchor's mother in the United States and...
Time to say
you, one of the families caught up in the heartache of the delay over the funeral. Delays for weeks. We'll get into that as well after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, there's growing anger among Labour MPs over Sir Keir Starmer's handling of the Peter Mandelson scandal. The Prime Minister has admitted he knew of Lord Mandelson's ties with Jeffrey Epstein when he was made US ambassador, but has stressed that Peter Mandelson repeatedly lied about their friendship with the late sex offender. Tory party leader Kemi Badenoch has told Nick she was surprised at yesterday's revelations at Prime Minister's questions.
Usually when people are trying to cover something up, it's because there's more to a situation than meets the eye. There are more details that will come out which they would rather were not in the public domain. That's why I think that there's more to come. Exactly when the Prime Minister made certain decisions, we're not sure. But what I did see yesterday when he was standing at PMQs was a man who knew he was in trouble and couldn't hide it.
Ministers have moved to defend Sir Keir Starmer. Speaking to Nick earlier, the Cabinet Minister Steve Reid said Sir Keir took decisive action.
A liar is going to lie. What you need to look
and
at
a barrister
is what
is
people
find
do
out
when
the
they
truth,
find
Mr.
out
Reid.
Someone's been lying to them.
The truth
the Prime
is,
Minister took decisive action.
The truth is, Mr. Reid.
Sacked him.
The truth is, Mr. Reid, Sir Keir Starmer has become a modern-day John Major, hasn't he? He's in office, but he's not in power.
That's absolutely not true. The Prime Minister sacked Peter Mandelson on the spot when he found out he'd been lied to.
Peter Mandelson has previously denied any wrongdoing.
The Prime Minister will attempt to put questions about Lord Mandelson behind him with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities later. Sir Keir Starmer will stress the government's work in tackling the cost of living, arguing it's vital for the nation's security. A ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force this morning. The change comes after it was revealed that some migrants were travelling long distances, costing hundreds of pounds. The ban has some exemptions, including pregnancy-related needs and physical disabilities. The Bank of England expected to hold interest rates at 3.75% this lunchtime. Analysts say there's concern about inflation, which was 3.4% in December. And the latest audience figures are out. They show LBC reaches a record number of people across the UK, with 3.4 million people now tuning into our stations every week. And 1.4 million of you are choosing Nick Ferrari at breakfast to start your day. So thank you. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 26 at £10,375. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with outbreaks of rain today. Some heavy showers for the south of England and hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
How would you describe McCain vibes?
I would reckon it's like a crisp and a chip. If they had a baby, do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
A chip. And a crisp.
Combination.
It's got crisp ancestry, but it's a chip.
Like a hot chip crisp combo thingy? Yeah? Pure poetry, that was.
McCain vibes. Our chip crisp combo hot snack thingies. In a freezer aisle near you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after nine on Thursday, February the 5th. Coming up in this hour, we continue with the Mandelson-Starmer saga. Get ready for that Starmer speech later this morning. But I also ask, why are so many politicians prone to bending the truth or being economical with the truth, or should we just call it the way it is? Would appear to be lying. In other news, the extraordinary story, the abduction of an American TV news's anchor's mother, Savannah Guthrie's mother, 84-year-old woman. They're not sure exactly what happened. They don't know how many people might have been involved in the abduction, and they don't know if a note is a ransom note. No wonder there's such concern. And here is the daughter, Savannah Guthrie, posting this video on her Instagram account.
Our mom is our heart and our home. She's 84 years old. Her health, her heart is fragile.
Well, that woman needs heart pills. Even President Trump has now intervened. We'll give you a full update on that extraordinary story. Plus,
when I've been off more than I could chew.
Oh, this is at my mother's funeral. But thanks for picking that one. That is the second most popular funeral song in the UK. Thanks, fellas. According to Co-op Funeral Care, that goes well. My Way by Frank Sinatra. Yes, well done. She died in 20 days' time, so you've hit that one as well. But what is the most popular song? As it is revealed, red tape delays funerals for weeks.
For the love of God.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
What phrase do you want to use? Economical with the truth? Shall we use that one, or shall we stick with lying? Let's be honest, Sir Keir Starmer now is in the most testing times of his career. He was, and suspend your political favours for a moment. It was going, gone. It took three goes by Kemi Badenoch, with whom we were speaking earlier in the previous hour, to finally get him to admit, yes, he knew that Mandelson maintained his friendship with Epstein after Epstein, important to say that, was convicted of sex crimes, a paedophile. What does that say about the judgment of that man? Now, he's speaking later today. One of his senior colleagues, Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, was on the media round talking about trying to rebuild trust and indeed to fund community projects. But I asked him, because he said about local people making decisions, how to put their areas back on track, community projects, decision-making. What does it say, this saga, about Sir Keir's abilities in decision-making?
I think what it says, first and foremost, is that Peter Mandelson's lying and deception was absolutely outrageous.
I agree, but what does it say of the PM's decision-making?
Well, the PM was lied to, like all of us, by Peter Mandelson. He deceived the media, he deceived the victims.
The Prime Minister knew that Lord Mandelson had maintained a friendship with Epstein after his conviction, his sex conviction, sexual crime. I ask again. So Mandelson is a liar. We all know that. What does that say about the Prime Minister's decision-making ability?
Well, the documents that detail this will be published, but Mandelson made out that his relationship with Epstein was next to nothing, that they barely knew each other, that they didn't have an ongoing relationship, and there was a full vetting process that was gone through. The detail of that will now be published
when
so everybody can see.
When did the full vetting process take place?
When he was appointed ambassador to the United States.
The
so that documentation
prior to his documentation.
That documentation will now be published. When the Prime Minister found out the truth, he sacked Peter Mandelson as the UK's ambassador.
I'm sorry.
He phoned him up at 5 a.m. in the morning and kicked him out of the job.
But Mr.
And that was
Mr.
a decisive
Reed,
action, the right thing to do.
Mr. Reed, this is supposedly a forensically skilled barrister who stands in the House of Commons and says to about someone, he lied and lied and lied and lied. He's a barrister. His whole skill set is to find out when people are lying in the court. Why is he unable to do that with such crucial appointments?
You're only as good as the information you received.
And he was told that the friendship continued.
Mandelson made out that relationship was barely existed, that they hardly knew each other. There was a vetting process that included the security forces as well. And they flagged up no additional concerns.
The truth
the documentation
is,
will be published. A liar is going to lie. What you need to look
and
at
a barrister
is what people
find
do
out
when
the
they
truth,
find
Mr.
out
Reed.
Someone's been lying to them.
The truth
and the Prime
is,
Minister took decisive action.
The truth is, Mr. Reed.
Sacked him.
The truth is, Mr. Reed, Sir Keir Starmer has become a modern-day John Major, hasn't he? He's in office, but he's not in power.
That's absolutely not true. The Prime Minister sacked Peter Mandelson on the spot when he found out he'd been lied to. It could not have been more decisive. If all of us could tell when a liar was lying, liars wouldn't exist. As soon as the Prime Minister found out, he took action.
He should never have appointed him in the first place. He knew the friendship was still going on. That's what everyone is saying. How big is the revolt, the supposed revolt among Labour colleagues?
I think you've got it in that. You said that's what everyone is saying. We need to look at the documents that will show the extent to which Peter Mandelson was lying. He fooled the media as well, didn't he? He was a pundit regularly on different stations. He was even on LBC. He was on a Times Radio podcast. He's
we don't run the country
the
here, as you're probably aware, Mr. Reed. Fortunately for the United Kingdom.
Yeah, but, you know, he lied to everybody. The point is, what do you do when you find out somebody had lied? The Prime Minister phoned him up at 5 a.m. in the morning months ago and he sacked him. Now we found out further revelations. He's going to pass a law to strip him of the title of a lord, and he's had him removed from the Privy Council with the consent of the King.
Why would there appear to have been initial reluctance to allow the International Security Committee to get involved in this? We talked about damaging international relations. What was the thinking behind that, do you imagine?
Well, the discussion was about the best way to get these documents released as quickly as possible. The Prime Minister proposed that it should be the Cabinet Secretary, who's an independent civil servant, that should
do
the
person who didn't investigate in September when a former Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, raised concerns.
There was an investigation and it didn't show anything up. We had a 6-hour debate in the House of Commons yesterday, and the proposal that the Intelligence and Security Committee would be a good place to do the checking of the documentation was made.
So you honestly
it's a really good suggestion. I supported it as soon as I heard that. I'm glad the government has listened and that's what they'll now do.
But the
key thing is that we need to get these documents out. But we need to make sure that national security isn't compromised.
Sir Keir's attempt to use Sir Chris Wormald, the Cabinet Secretary, to lead the inquiry, someone who was involved in Lord Mandelson's appointment, who failed to follow up fully on a complaint from former Prime Minister Gordon Brown. He's the man who investigates it. What confidence are my listeners meant to have in that?
Well, the Cabinet Secretary is an independent figure, not part of the government.
He was involved in the appointment of Mandelson.
He's the head of the civil service, but the government has accepted the proposal that it should be in the intelligence committee that checks these documents. So that's what will happen. The key thing is we want these documents out as quickly as possible so that you and your listeners and viewers can all see what the Prime Minister saw when Peter Mandelson lied to him.
20 years ago, Tony Blair once said the new Labour project will only be complete when the party came to love Peter Mandelson. Did the party ever love Peter Mandelson? Did you professionally ever love Peter Mandelson, Steve Reed?
Well, Tony Blair couldn't have got that one more wrong, could he? We now see what Peter Mandelson truly is, and he's facing a prosecution, and rightly so.
Steve Reed. Now, what of that taunt? By the way, Norman Lamont came up with, not with me, I was just old enough and ugly enough to remember it. In office, but not in power. I asked Kemi Badenoch, does that now apply to Sir Keir Starmer?
It is the reality, and it has been so for a very long time. It has been so since that welfare vote where he chickened out and couldn't make very tiny minor changes to welfare in hock to his backbenchers. And let's remember, this man has a majority of about 160. But that's about twice what Boris Johnson had when people said Boris Johnson had a landslide. He should be able to do whatever he wants. And he cannot because he has no agenda. He's had multiple resets, multiple changes. Endless U-turns, U-turn after U-turn. You don't know whether what they're announcing in the morning is still going to be there by nighttime. So, no, he's not governing. He's not governing. And I'm going to be saying more about that later today.
So let's try and get to the bottom of why people decide to be economical with the truth. Sandra van der Linden is Professor of Social Psychology at Cambridge University and wrote Foolproof, Why We Fall for Misinformation. I could, Professor, take you back to the days of Anthony Eden, or perhaps even further back, and point out where politicians, prime ministers, have been economical with the truth. What's it down to? Fear? Pressure? Media? Morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I think there's a few reasons. I mean, there's various kinds of lies. There's interstate lies. So sometimes politicians lie to other states. You know, Roosevelt lied to the American public to get them ready to go to war with Hitler, right, about the U.S. submarine being attacked. Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. But actually, politicians lie more often to their own public because it's actually quite risky to lie to other countries. And so sometimes the motivations are, you know, of the noble kind, you know, we want to start a, you know, a war to save the world type of lie. And some are more strategic, what we call strategic lies, where they have to weigh the cost, the long-term cost of their reputation for the short-term benefit of strategically advancing themselves. So the context that we're discussing this in, I think, is more of a strategic lie, right? Somebody wants position of power, influence during a system that incentivizes, you know, once you're committed, it incentivizes that you want to stay in power. And so the lies are strategic, right? There's a cost benefit. Okay, how, you know, what am I getting in the short term by lying? And what's the risk in the long term that this is going to cost my reputation? And I think here they made a clear error that they thought they were going to get away with it. And that is a short answer. Politicians lie because they get away with it. Look at Trump. You know, he lies all the time because he gets away with it.
How are they to be held to account?
Well, you know, I do think that Sir Keir Starmer, you know, of course, but, you know, he did make the right decision of immediately dismissing Mendelssohn. I mean, I think that's the right move, stripping people of their titles. I mean, there have to be consequences. Interestingly, I believe it was Wales where they proposed making lying for politicians illegal, which initially had some support. I don't know, you know, how you would administer this in practice with the courts, but I think it sends a clear signal that there's going to be consequences. And I think it's a deterrent, right? If politicians know that there's going to be high cost to lying, that's going to help at least deter some of the most egregious instances, because otherwise they just think they're going to get away with it. Because the motivations that people have aren't always about accuracy. They're social, they're political. You know, how am I going to advance my position, my group, my agenda? And sometimes they delude themselves that they have, you know, that a little bit of lying is okay because we have a bigger plan to, you know, save the country in some way.
Let me ask you this. How much of a defense is it to say that you've been lied to, because you won't have been watching, but it's my job to watch. One of the key planks of Sir Keir's defense yesterday concerning Lord Mendelssohn was he lied and lied and lied again. Is that a valid defense to put forward?
Well, you know, I did hear the previous clip, and, you know, the known association with Epstein was obviously not good. And you know, if you're a critical observer, you would ask critical questions. Now, I think we'll have to wait and see what the vetting procedure was like and what the details are. I mean, you know, perhaps reasonably, if it all goes through a formal vetting process, extremely detailed, everyone says that you trust and rely upon, it's been checked, he's not hiding anything, it could be reasonable for the prime minister to go ahead with that and believe that. But there could also be social pressure, right? If Sweeney was keen on this appointment, influencing the prime minister in some way. I mean, we're all susceptible to social influence. We're susceptible to, you know, strategic maneuvering. We have to weigh costs and benefits. So
I will leave it there. Sander van der Linden, thank you. You're a professor of social psychology at Cambridge University. You wrote Foolproof, Why We Fall for Misinformation. Calls coming in on that. Also coming up later in this hour, grieving families are having to wait twice as long for death certificates thanks to reforms. But what is it in the reforms? and a you, as if it's not the lowest time of your life, aimed at a berry, your mum or whatever it might be, your grandma. An even worse moment. We'll get into more detail on that. It's 9:16 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch has told Nick that she thinks Sir Keir Starmer is in office but not in power, as anger grows over the Peter Mandelson scandal. A ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force, and the Bank of England's expected to hold interest rates at 3.75% this lunchtime. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, heavy showers in the south of England, hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M1 southbound from junction 12 at Flitwick to 9 at Redbourne. It's after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. The western stretch of the M25 is still very busy clockwise at junction 16 at the M40 after an accident, and the M23 slow northbound to the M25. Very busy on the North Circular Road southbound to the Hanger Lane gyratory. A lorry's broken down, and also in Ballsmore Lane in Enfield westbound at the A10 junction, a van's broken down, so that's caused delays on the approach. On the train, Southeastern services can't run southbound between Maidstone East and Ashford International, and C2C services are disrupted to and from Fenchurch Street.
This is LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Mummy, please can you tell me a bedtime story?
Once upon a time there was a very tired mummy who'd been busy all day, and basically she was too knackered to cook, so she ordered herself sweet and sour chicken, special fried rice and some prawn crackers on Uber Eats instead.
That's not a very good story, Mummy.
Great ending though.
When you've done enough, Uber Eats and get your favourite restaurants delivered. Check out for terms and restrictions.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad! Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Andrew, Sue's coming to you as calls concerning our conversation about Starmer, and unfortunately how many so many politicians have lied. You can look at not just Sir Keir Starmer, who would appear to have misled the House. You can also look about saying he retained full confidence in Peter Mandelson after his appointment. But also look at people such as Boris Johnson and others. Now, just do a couple of social media. Ivan in Gants Hill. I think you've actually brilliantly nailed why you're doing it. Let me read it first. Why is it after each news item about Mandelson, the newsreader feels the need to say something to the effect that Mandelson maintains he's done nothing wrong? If that's the current stance being reported for legal reasons, why is Starmer being vilified for having believed him in the past? And what you've done, sir, is you've absolutely put your finger on, because the reason that we can go in with such ferocity as regards Sir Keir's support of Mandelson is that there is a conviction. There was a conviction as a paedophile, as a sex crime for Epstein. A conviction. The others, of course, might go before court, so we cannot be seen in any way to prejudice. And the reason I would suggest is why Kemi Badenoch's questions were so powerful yesterday was that it dealt with something that was taken after the conviction of a paedophile. and for his support to continue after that shows extraordinary, extraordinary lack of judgment. Ivan, thank you for that. Stu says, I have a lot of sympathy for Keir Starmer. Who would have thought a man with nicknames such as Scandalson and the Prince of Darkness would turn out to be a wrong one, a wrong one, as you say. And Barry, Starmer should simply resign from his position instead of all this tittle-tattle. It's clear he's no longer worthy of the position, and he's hanging on by his fingernails. Andrew in Bayswater, you're on the radio. The point you want to make. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. Look, it's this, that I think a very important fact that's been overlooked in this narrative to the effect that Starmer's appointment of Mandelson was a hanging offence. Very important point has been overlooked. The Conservative Party did not oppose that appointment.
Right.
And that says to me, and their subsequent criticism is based on all the awful things that have come out since December 2024. That's over, that's nearly 15 months ago.
Right.
And that's why now it looks so obvious that it was not a good appointment, a bad appointment. But that was not the position the Conservative Party took in December 24. And therefore,
I don't think they would have had sight of any reports, would they, the Conservative Party? Because the Labour Party, I'm damn certain, don't have any sight of any employment positions that are made during the Conservative Party in opposition. I can't imagine that the Labour government is going to turn over information to the Conservative opposition. So they wouldn't have known about the fact that Mandelson had maintained his friendship with a convicted paedophile.
Which reports are you talking about?
The key here is that Starmer knew that Mandelson was still keeping a friendship going with Epstein.
So did you, Nick. So did everybody. That was public record December 2024.
Of course I didn't know that. If you remember, Mandelson initially denied it. If you remember, when he was first confronted with this by the Financial Times, he denied it.
Well, how was Starmer supposed to know anything different?
I'm sorry, because there was a report. There was a report on his desk telling him that he was keeping a friendship going. That he, Mandelson, was keeping a friendship with him, Epstein, going.
When?
What don't you understand, sir? Prior to his appointment.
And who was that report from?
The Civil Service. I don't know the author of the report.
Was there a recommendation that he should or should not?
What does it? Why are you getting so defensive? This is a simple, clear, ludicrous, incompetent lapse of judgment that you keep faith with someone who has maintained a friendship with a paedophile. What are you not getting?
What I'm not getting is why he wasn't entitled to rely upon the report of the committee or whoever they were who'd looked into it.
He didn't rely on it. He chose to ignore it. That's the key that Kemi Badenoch nailed.
What was their recommendation?
Their report was that he's maintained a friendship. And then to go ahead and appoint the man. I mean, look, he took a political risk. To try and expand this conversation, because we've made the same point six times over, the court of Trump is going to be a very weird place. Peter Mandelson, whatever you say about him, is a supremely skilled political operator. He is one of, if not the key architect of New Labour. He helped bring Tony Blair to power. He helped Gordon Brown. He's a vice. You're dealing with an exceptionally skilled man. But, unfortunately, desperately flawed private life. So the PM, Sir Keir, thought, I'm taking a punt on this. I need to get in the White House. I need a bloke like Petey, as he was known by Epstein. I'm going to take a risk, and it's blown up in his face, Andrew. That's the reality.
Well, as I say, I don't think you can reach the kind of conclusion you're wanting to reach.
I'm not wanting to reach, mate. It's the reality.
You haven't even seen the report, Nick, so you're speculating on what it says. But that is going to be investigated.
All right, OK. I'm grateful for your input. I urge you to review yesterday's Prime Minister's question, and the question that was gone, asked three times by Kemi Badenoch, when the Prime Minister finally had to admit that, yes, a report had been put. I mean, if you want, let me just quickly, if I can very quickly find you the words, because these are fairly key to our conversation. Here we go. What's the Keir Starmer know that Lord Mandelson had continued his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, even if the latter had become a convicted paedophile? And the third time of asking, yes, I did. I mean, that, Andrew, tells me all I need to know. Suze, you're the next caller on that. Let's go to other matters, and we go to the United States. And an extraordinary and baffling story concerning the suspected abduction of the mother of a big prominent news anchor over in the US. I speak of Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy. Now, this is Pima County Sheriff Chris Nainos saying They believe the mother was abducted.
She didn't walk from there. She didn't go willingly. We don't believe that. And the family's just, they've worked so close with us. They're heartbroken about this, as are we. This is a member of our community. We want her found.
Now, President Trump has spoken of this.
Have you been briefed on Savannah Guthrie's mom missing in Arizona?
I think it's terrible.
Would you commit to more federal agents like helping out on the
search? Sure, I would. I'm going to call her later on. I think it's a terrible thing. I always get along very good with Savannah. Very unusual situation, but we're going to find out.
And what of the woman, Savannah Guthrie herself, where she posted this video on social media overnight?
We too have heard the reports about a ransom letter in the media. As a family, we are doing everything that we can. We are ready to talk. However, we live in a world where voices and images are easily manipulated. We need to know, without a doubt, that she is alive and that you have her.
Dr. Donna Jackson is an expert on U.S. politics and history at the University of Chester, joins us now. I guess we have to start, Doctor, if we can, with the significance of Savannah Guthrie. Can you kind of put this in a UK context? Morning to you.
Yeah, she is, good morning, by the way, she is hugely popular. Everybody will know her name. It's kind of like Ollie Willoughby or Philip Schofield from, you know, right. ITV and, or the Nick Ferrari of LBC, if I may. But, you know, Claire Balding, those sorts of names. She's on the main, one of the main morning breakfast shows. She commentates on the Thanksgiving parade from Macy's, which everybody right. watches. You know, she is a massive name. Everybody would know her.
What do we know about Mum? What do we know about the area in which she lived?
Well, not much more than I think it's just sort of been on the news. The police were there. If her mum had just sort of, you know, gone out and just had an accident, slipped, fell or something like that, there are enough people around. She would have been found. There is, and there's certainly, from what the police are saying, signs of a break-in, signs of a forced abduction. So I think the fact that it is a crime is what happened. That is what the evidence is saying. That is what the police are saying. Obviously, social media takes things and runs with it, but there does seem to be enough credible evidence that the lady was taken. The other thing we know is that she does have health issues. So, and there are concerns about her not having a medication. If she was kidnapped with her health issues and, you know, it had just been too much for her and sadly she'd died, that may be why there's been no official formal ransom demand or anything like that. And, you know, they don't have any money. I think this may be one that we never really find out. And it is just terribly tragic for anybody, not just a celebrity, but for anybody who loses their mum this way.
Lastly, I note we're using the language suspected abduction. Is there anything like a note? Has there any been any contact with potential people who might have taken mum? Have we had anything on that?
Nothing at the moment. There is no ransom demand. But of course, if she isn't alive, then that's unlikely. You know, as the appeal, the very heart-rending appeal that went out, they need proof of life. And if the kidnappers, and I think it probably was a kidnapping, and the police seem to think so as well.
Right.
If they can't show proof of life, they're just going to, you know, disappear. And I think, no, they will never know the truth, which is just, it's just awful for anybody. You know, it's just tragic.
It is. Donna, thanks as ever. Dr. Donna Jackson, expert on US politics and history at the University of Chester, will obviously update you on that. Let's come back to matters here in the UK and troubling matters, because if you're trying to arrange a funeral for a loved one,
you raise me up, so why can't a mountain?
That, according to Co-op Funeral Care, is one of the most popular funeral songs or songs chosen at people's funerals. By the way, what is the number one? I'll tell you after this, but red tape is delaying funerals for weeks. Are you a victim of that? We'll give you more details after this. Just on 9:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
The Conservative leader has told LBC she thinks Sir Keir Starmer is in office but not in power, as anger grows over the Peter Mandelson scandal. Speaking to Nick, Kemi Badenoch said she believes more details will emerge over what Sir Keir knew of Lord Mandelson's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. A ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force. The change comes after it was revealed some migrants were travelling long distances, costing hundreds of pounds. And the Bank of England is expected to keep its base rate of interest on hold later. Leading economists think it'll stay at 3.75% after it was cut from 4% before Christmas. LBC weather, cloudy for most, with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers for the south of England, hill snow in the north. A high of 11 degrees.
LBC.
You know that feeling when your money is working for you? No? Well, make it. Open an investment account at XTB, make your first deposit and receive a free Rolls-Royce stock.
Rolls-Royce?
That's right. Own one of the best performing UK stocks this year for free. And if you like it, you can easily buy more stocks and ETFs with 0% commission. Join XTB and let your money work for you.
Your capital is at risk. Investments above €100,000 are charged at 0.2% commission. FX fees may apply. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Fanning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling and the whole world smiles with you.
FanningDental.co.uk.
At TfO, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's come back to our conversation concerning Sir Keir Starmer. He will be in Sussex giving a speech today. He'll be talking about what a great country this is, the prosperity that we continue to enjoy, and the personal voyages he's had from working class to the position that he has. Or will that soon be the position that he had? James in Manchester. James, your take on all of this. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Hello, sir. I have to say, I'm exasperated and completely disgusted by the whole business.
Yes, I share your feelings.
And not only that, I mean, the fact of the matter is, correct me if I'm wrong, but has Mandelson been given the boot twice for wrongdoing already in the world of politics?
Well, you can actually count three. You can count the loan of £373,000 from Geoffrey Robertson to facilitate the purchase of a house. You can count his relationship with the Nduja brothers, and you can now count his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, how many times have you got
I
to
don't
conclude
know.
You were wrong?
I don't know.
Or you actually... passed out.
All I will say again, and I put this word in quotes, in defence, is, and I know it doesn't sound like it, but as regards politics, he is supremely skilled. As regards personal relationships, he's clearly an utter dummkopf, but he's very good at the job in politics. That is the reality.
Well, a lot of people are good at their jobs, but if they've got the hand in the till, would you employ him?
Question, would you want to see is this enough for the Prime Minister to go now? Does he limp on to the local, so the by-election, does he limp through the local elections? What should the timing be, James?
Well, as a man who voted for Keir Starmer, he should go now. The thing that terrifies me is who next?
Why did you vote for Sir Keir? Did you vote for Sir Keir, or did you vote against the clapped-out Conservatives?
No, I am a Labour voter.
Ah, okay.
Keir Starmer was best of a bad bunch, I do believe.
Yes.
I never liked him from the beginning, to be fair, but I voted for Labour because that principles. He's just proved same old to me.
Where will you go? Where will your vote go next time, lastly, James?
Well, that's what I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Right.
Oh, I could not in my heart vote Conservative or Reform or I don't know who I would vote
could
for, but
vote
I know one thing.
You haven't mentioned Lib Dems or Greens, just lastly.
Turncoats.
Oh, right. No
Lib Dems, turncoats.
No interest in either of those. James, thank you. We'll have more calls on that. Now, firstly, if you are involved with one, my heart goes out to you if you're trying to arrange a funeral for grandma or whatever it might be. But it's got even worse. There's now red tape delays for those services.
Time to say goodbye. My canon on my...
And we've been working you through the top 10 of funeral songs, or the most popular songs to be played, according to Co-op Funeral Care. Helpfully, the team put My Way by Frank Sinatra in. That's played at my mother's funeral, which is only 20 days off the anniversary of her death, so that was most helpful. But this is the most popular, Time to Say Goodbye, Sarah Brightman and Andrea Bocelli. But it won't be ringing out with such frequency at the moment because grieving families are having to wait twice as long for death certificates due to reforms brought in. John Weir, spokesperson for the National Society of Allied and Independent Funeral Directors, joins me now. Thanks for coming on, Mr. Weir. I read in the Times these are to do with reforms from the Harold Shipman case. Can you run us through what those are, Mr. Weir? Morning.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Good morning to
Hello,
you.
Sir.
The death registration procedure changed in September 2024.
Right.
The government at that time said it was to improve patient safety and on the back of Shipman, as you rightly mentioned.
Right.
But since the introduction of this scheme, right across the UK, Nick, there are delays, considerable
right.
delays now. And I'll give you an example just here in Medway. We have a client whose mother died on the 29th of December.
Yes.
They weren't able to register the death until the 26th of January.
Oh, that's appalling.
It is appalling because, you know, they've lost their mother, for God's sake.
Yep.
And it's nothing new, Nick. Our professional association warned the government way back that there would be delays.
But let's take it right back to the basics, John, if I may call you that. What is it then that these poor souls are having to do now that they didn't before?
So, someone passes away in before 2024, the GP would issue a certificate.
Right.
The family would then go off to the registrar and register the death.
Right.
Done. Now, the GP has to refer the death to the medical examiner, not the coroner, the medical examiner. The medical examiner will then gather information about that person, the deceased,
if someone's died in their bed at age 90?
Yes, every death.
With the health conditions and goodness knows what.
Every death.
And a doctor's signed off the death. We still need a second opinion, as it were.
Yeah, basically.
Good grief.
So the medical examiner then gathers the records together, examines the records, speaks to the GP, speaks to the family, perhaps.
Oh, my goodness me.
And then authorises the registrar to register the death. So we've got this extra layer, Nick. So prior to 2024, someone for cremation, for instance,
yeah.
if someone was to be cremated, the GP would issue a certificate. We'd have a second doctor come in to confirm cause of death.
Right.
Very little hassle. But now there are delays.
Well,
and
let
this
me
is
ask
right
you,
across the UK, Nick.
I mean, of course, John. And people will remember the horrific Harold Shipman affair.
Mm.
Who falsified death certificates to hide the fact that he was bumping off his elderly patients. Was reform necessary? Did it need to go this far? What should have happened, John?
I think reform was necessary. And interestingly, with Shipman, it was a funeral director that raised the alarm on several occasions.
Ah, and was ignored.
It was ignored.
Ah,
so whilst reform was required, this has gone the other way, and back in July 2025,
mm-hmm.
I think the BBC carried pieces about these delays, and it was highlighted then that prior to the reforms coming in, our association said there could be delays up to 4 weeks, and if it goes ahead as it is.
Lastly, John, you run John Weir Funeral Directors. You've got funeral homes located across the Medway area, Raynham, Gillingham, Chatham. You mentioned one client. What's the impact been for the families? Because those are the people we need to think of the most. What's the impact for the families?
And our heart goes out to this family.
They need closure, of course.
Yeah, they do. the impact on that family, and this will be, again, right across the UK, Nick, where these families have experienced this delay, this particular family wanted to see their mother. But they couldn't because organic changes took place.
Of course.
You couldn't do anything.
No, I understand.
Until the death is registered, a funeral director can't do anything.
And finally, sorry, I'm pretty certain that within the Jewish faith, you should be buried within 24 hours. Have special provisions been made for them? Do you? I know you probably don't have many Jewish clients down in Gillingham, but do we know special provisions?
We do, actually, and I actually look after the Shul's Burial Society.
Ah, okay.
No, in short.
Good Lord.
There isn't.
But that's a breach of their faith.
Yeah, and that's the same with the Muslim community.
Oh, right? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make any difference, quite frankly, Nick.
Any sight, lastly, of government action? Is anybody aware of this? Can your organisation, can another organisation start lobbying?
Well, both my organisation and also the National Funeral Directors Association, the NFD, they're all in consultation with the Department of Health and Social Care. And we will wait to see what happens.
John Weir is spokesperson for the National Society of Allied and Independent Funeral Directors. He has family-owned funeral director funeral homes in Kent in the Medway area. The Times newspaper has commented the story, and they've tried to contact the Department of Health, and the line is simply they were approached for comment. All right, we might talk more about that. Someone who might be seeing their political career come to, or has seen their political career come to an end, is Lord Mandelson. What are the ramifications for the PM? Suz in Manchester. How do you call it, Suz? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Nick. Thank you for taking the call. I see it as Keir Starmer, unfortunately, would probably have to resign in his position, simply because there's two ways of looking at it. He's probably looked at the intelligence report, being told that, hey, listen, this guy still has connections with Epstein.
Yep, this we know that.
Prove a bit tricky. But he's probably done it in the interest of Britain. If you know the old phrase, takes one to know one.
Yeah.
And he's probably assumed that in Peter Mendelsohn with Donald Trump, being the best person to deal with that type of character.
I think there's a lot of strength to your argument. But as it started to rumble, and bear in mind, we're going back, you know, September. He had since last September to get on the front foot, to get something out there, Suz, in reality, didn't he?
He should have basically told him to leave his position then when he realised. Because obviously, we both know the American intelligence agencies or whoever would have told the British ones, hey, listen, there's some bad news coming out about this guy. You need to make sure we're just giving you some heads up here before it got. They could have even redacted it. Maybe Trump probably just thought, you know, because of Greenland, you know what? You're not getting redacted. We're just going to throw this out. But you don't know how these guys work. But something's obviously happened. And once Keir Starmer knew, he should have been on the front foot. He wasn't on the front foot. And that's the reason why he should resign.
Suz, thank you. Aries in this says, Starmer is the Prime Minister. He needs to wake up and realise what the hell is going on. He also needs to grow a pair and call a general election. He'll never do this. Call a general election. They haven't got a clue how to run the country. Meanwhile, Keith makes the point, which I hope, Keith, you listen to Keith in Bootle, red tape delaying funerals. How are Muslim families coping with this? They're meant to only have days to bury their family. Well, we just heard from who man is doing it. Funeral director, they're not. I sense this story won't go away. We'll take calls on that after the 9:45 LBC news headlines then from Dominic Ellis.
The Housing Secretary, Steve Reid, has insisted on LBC that Sir Keir Starmer is secure in his job, despite growing anger over the Peter Mandelson scandal. The Prime Minister will attempt to put questions about Lord Mandelson behind him with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities. And the Bank of England's expected to hold interest rates at 3.75% this lunchtime. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, heavy showers in southern England, hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M1 southbound from junction 12 at Flitwick to 9 at Redbourne. It's after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. The western stretch of the M25 is still very busy clockwise at junction 16 at the M40 after an accident, and the M23 slow northbound to the M25. Very busy on the North Circular Road southbound to the Hanger Lane Gyratory. A lorry's broken down. And also in Ballsmore Lane in Enfield, westbound at the A10 junction, a van's broken down. So that's caused delays on the approach. On the train, Southeastern services can't run southbound between Maidstone East and Ashford International, and C2C services are disrupted to and from Fenchurch Street.
This is LBC.
At Tesco Mobile, club card prices are frozen, so your contract price stays on ice.
so you can get our unlimited data sim for just £20 a month for 24 months with club card prices, saving you a huge £120. And it stays like that for the length of your contract. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 22nd of March. Club card and 24-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
Attention dogs, this is not a drill. If your dinner comes in dodgy brown balls or smells suspicious at best, you deserve to know this. Butternut Box makes fresh dog food with ingredients you'd find in your human's fridge. In fact, some humans have even tasted it. For quality control, obviously. Anyway, let's hope your human was listening. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
You know that guy I've been seeing?
Yeah.
Turns out my sister's been seeing him too.
Oh, really?
And I heard he's been seeing Kelly at number 56. And Dave.
Your brother?
Yep.
Specsavers opticians and audiologists own and run their stores, so your care is their business, which can make them rather popular.
I've got something to tell you. I've got half an hour with him this afternoon.
Specsavers. Your care is our business. Book an appointment today.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big motoring world, we're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Cost and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
This funeral story is desperately distressing, isn't it? As if it's not a tough enough time in your life, speaking sadly from personal experience, my mother's being the most recent. You really want everything to go as smoothly, swiftly, and people to be as kind as they possibly can. You're not necessarily in the best place. Clearly checks were needed after Shipman, who falsified the records concerning how he was murdering patients. But let's take a call on this. Alex in Borehamwood. Alex, what can you tell me? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I'm a rabbi of a very large community in Hertfordshire.
Right.
And these changes have real impact on our members. According to Jewish law and tradition, we try and bury as quickly as possible.
Yeah, where does that come from? Where does that practice come from, Rabbi? Why?
Well, the idea behind it is respect for the dead. So that rather than leaving them unburied for any period of time unnecessarily, we try and bury as quickly as possible to show the greatest respect to them.
I see. Okay.
And since these changes, there's been a real impact on the members of the Jewish community trying to bury their loved ones.
Right.
Not only that, of course, the process of mourning, also we have different stages. So we have
Shiva, which is
the Hebrew word for seven. So we have 7 days of mourning, which can only start once the burial has taken place.
Oh,
so this process is then delayed for families. Obviously, causes distress for even routine cases. Obviously, as you said, people who there's no suspicion over why they've passed away have been seen by a doctor recently, and yet it can be a day or 2 days delay in the burial process.
So, what are your? Do I call it congregation? What are they saying to you about this, Rabbi?
Well, first-hand experience of people who are almost left in limbo because they cannot get on with the grieving process, with the funeral, because of these unnecessary delays.
In the process of mourning, I know the answer to this question, I think, but it's important because you help families through it. once the death has been registered in people's minds, it's so important, isn't it, to try and get to the funeral, to get to a stage of closure?
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, in order to be able to move on to the next stage, you have to be able to bury the loved one and then be able to start grieving for them. But without that, you're sort of left in this limbo state where nothing can happen.
Lastly, we hear that some funeral directors are going to try lobbying. Is this something that you would ever see a collective of rabbis or people of the Jewish faith also make representations and say, look, this is getting in the way of our religious beliefs here?
Yes, no, absolutely. I think there needs to be some pressure, some lobbying taking place in order to represent the views of the Jewish community and the Muslim community as well. Anyone who wants to see their loved one buried as soon as possible without delay.
Good luck with the work you do helping families at such a difficult time. Alex, Rabbi, thank you. And I want to say again, of course, for Muslim faiths as well, I'm sure imams are equally upset for their congregation, if I use that word. So possibly if we had some representations from a collection of imams, a collection of rabbis, but this can't be allowed to continue, right? Reform is needed. Of course you can't have a murderous doctor falsifying records so he gets away with murder, and that's a literally overused word, gets away with murder. But this can't be right either. We might come back to that, but it is, unsurprisingly, the Mandelson affair, the Starmer involvement, Kemi Badenoch's, I would say, fairly impressive performance at PMQs yesterday that's dominating our conversation. Jill in Sidcup, what do you want to say, Jill? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello,
Nick.
Jill.
Hi. My point, which yep. I don't think anyone's brought up yet, is that Labour went after Boris for a piece of cake and a glass of wine. And
there were a few others. Yeah, I mean, certainly the start of it, yes,
was,
you're right.
That was the main thing, they went on and on. This is way, way worse than that. This is national security. This is a betrayal of the UK.
Yes.
And I do not believe, and I don't think most people believe, that Starmer didn't know.
Didn't.
That's his job, to know. That's why he is where he is.
No, but he did know. Sorry, what part of it do you... Sorry, he did know that Mandelson had maintained his friendship with Epstein.
Yes, absolutely.
No,
he did know. That should have been enough.
That, to me, is the absolute... If the man genuinely didn't know, then let's all hold back. But A, he knew, and for him to say he lied, and lied again... Matt, you're a barrister. Have you never faced someone in court who's clearly lying?
Exactly. He should know. He's been his job as public... prosecution director.
Director of public prosecution.
To know all of that. And to now come out and go, oh, well, you know, I made a mistake. Loads of people have said they made a mistake and nobody's cared. Everyone said, well, tough luck. Ignorance is no defence. He wasn't ignorant. No. Therefore, he should go. We're all expecting him to go.
Lastly,
please.
Would that be the end of the scandal? And it won't happen.
No.
But if Sir Keir Starmer was to this afternoon say, look, I'm now damaging the party, I'm damaging the position of PM, I'm damaging the United Kingdom, would that end it, do you think, or there's still more to come out about Mandelson?
I think there's loads more to come out about Mandelson. I didn't like him when he first started coming into politics, and I thought there was something very shady. I can't believe that he keeps making all these comebacks and nobody can see it.
I think the comeback king is now, unfortunately, that will be, well, unfortunately for him, that's over. There will be no more comebacks. That is it. The final whistle has blown on the Prince of Darkness. Jill, thank you. Steve in Finchley, the point you want to make. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. I'm questioning the relationship that we have with the US because they've had some time been going through the files. It seems a bit amazing that everything that's been released seems to be all UK-centric, you know, Andrew...
Oh, I don't know about that. There's been Bill Gates, there's been Bill Clinton, there's been Donald... All again, we must quickly get in here, all of whom deny any wrongdoing. But there have been presidents, past and present presidents, got there eventually. No?
But what about the timing? So if you know, with Starmer, the way it's coming across now, we're hearing it in the media and it seems to be so surprising.
Yeah.
But they've had the papers for some time. You can't tell me that their security, national security, isn't giving our national security a heads up saying, look, we've come across this. This could be quite explosive if it comes out. But you need to be aware of it.
Yeah.
And that our security wouldn't be aware of it way ahead than we're us hearing it now. So Starmer must have known, in my opinion.
Yeah, just lastly, of course, they could be having this conversation in New York, in that the authorities didn't tip off the American authorities either about the problems concerning Bill Gates. It takes the drip, 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 or to use the American expression, the dumping of 3 million files last weekend. So, you know, the US media find themselves in the same position as we do here.
Right, OK, that's fair enough. But going back to the days when you used to have special branches in the 70s and 80s, yep. Anything like this would be swept under the carpet like there's no tomorrow.
That's
it
right.
Doesn't seem to me that we are... We haven't got that service anymore where, you know, the communication is literally this. You really need to know about this. I think either it's been held back or it's been drip-drip to us and not given us forthright, and it's put Starmer in a position, basically.
I hear what you say. The old SB, special branch. Quite an organisation they were. Thank you for that. Steve, let's get one more in, at least Jay in Saffron Walden. Jay, you want to talk specifically about he is Lord, but let's call him Peter Mandelson.
Hi, Nick. Yeah, basically, we had a choice last year between Nigel Farage or Lord Mandelson. Both of them are friends of Donald.
No, I don't think Nigel Farage was a real
No,
goer.
I know. No. I know you were hyping him up to say... Yeah, but you were hyping up to send him as an ambassador. If you remember, I remember all these conversations you were talking about, and the far right was attacking Keir Starmer at that time. If you remember, J.D. Vance talking about no free speech in this country, Elon Musk sending all his boats trying to attack the UK for no free speech, right? And Keir Starmer was in such a bad situation, right? He had to send somebody familiar face. But then Donald Trump pretended that he never met Lord Mandelson. If you remember, I remember that conversation when he said, oh, do you want to buy a Rolls Royce? And he said, what a fantastic accent. Do you remember that?
Yes, we pretended.
He lied to us. Donald Trump lied to us that he never knew Lord Mandelson.
Okay, so where does this take us as regards to Keir Starmer? Just to bring it down to that point, if I may.
Yeah, but Keir Starmer didn't have a choice.
He did have a choice.
The media was attacking him all the time, and that's why he sent somebody familiar face to get a deal.
But you're wrong. He did have a choice.
Well, what choice was it?
I think there were eight. No, Nigel Farage was not one of them. I think there were eight. Don't quote me, but there were a number of candidates, all of whom were sort of unknown, without being rude, civil servants. And then there was Petey or Lord Mandelson, and he went with him.
Yeah, but we had to send a familiar face, so everybody in.
Oh, you can't justify it, Jay. You cannot justify putting forward your man in Washington being someone who kept a friendship going with someone who had been convicted of paedophilia. It just doesn't work. That has to be the reality. You had the last word, because I am done for done for another day, or am I not? Right. If you miss any of today's show, listen back on Free Global Player or the LBC. Where is he? Where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app. Here he is for free from your app store now. I'm done for today. James O'Brien is the other side of the news on LBC. I'll be there tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. I'm behind you. The time is approaching 10 o'clock and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, it's an oscillation, if that's the right word to use, between thinking, as many people do, that this is remarkably straightforward. I'm referring, lest you've been under a rock for the last few days, to the case of Peter Mandelson, Jeffrey Epstein and Keir Starmer, a point on a triangle that the Prime Minister never wanted to be and didn't need to become, and thinking that it is actually rather complicated. For example, everybody knew that Keir Starmer knew that Peter Mandelson had been in touch with Epstein after his release from jail. Everybody knew that. It was reported in the Financial Times years and years ago. So, what do you think? Is this really simple, or is there complication?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Sir Keir Starmer will attempt to move on from the Peter Mandelson scandal this morning with a speech about rebuilding pride in communities. The government's been forced to hand over files on the peer's appointment as US ambassador after a backlash from Labour MPs. Speaking to LBC this morning, the Cabinet Minister Steve Reid denied suggestions that the Prime Minister's in office but not in power.
The Prime Minister sacked Peter Mandelson on the spot when he found out he'd been lied to. It could not have been more decisive. If all of us could tell when a liar was lying, liars wouldn't exist.
Peter Mandelson has always denied any wrongdoing over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, told LBC she believes Sir Keir Starmer is on borrowed time.
I think that there's so much more to come. I think that those papers are going to show all sorts of terrible decision-making and bad judgment by the Labour government. I think Keir Starmer is only going to get into more trouble.
In other news this morning, a ban on asylum seekers using taxis to get to most medical appointments has come into force. The government's acted following concerns that some were travelling long distances costing hundreds of pounds. Donald Trump has conceded that federal immigration agents could use a softer touch. 700 of them are now being pulled out of Minnesota. Two US citizens were shot and killed by ICE agents last month. The number of people in hospital in England with norovirus has fallen for the first time since the start of the year. Latest NHS figures show they filled an average of 904 hospital beds each day last week. That's down 5% from the previous week's average of 950. The Bank of England's expected to hold interest rates at 3.75% this lunchtime. Analysts say there's concern about inflation, which was 3.4% in December. And the latest audience figures show LBC is still the UK's leading commercial radio talk brand, with a record 3.4 million people listening. And 1.4 million of you are now tuning in to James O'Brien every week. So, thank you. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 43 at 10,359. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy for most with outbreaks of rain, some heavy showers for the south of England, hill snow in the north, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
The Volkswagen Fantabulous, Fandabby-dozy, Fandanger-ding-dong fortnight is here.
Stop. We've been through this, Harry. It's the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight. Much snappier.
Oh, OK. From the 2nd to the 16th of February, the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight gives you an extra £1,000 towards your finance deposit on top of existing offers on the Polo, Golf, Tiguan and our all-electric ID 3, 4 and 5 with Solutions PCP 7.9% APR representative. Visit your nearest Volkswagen retailer now. Hurry, offer ends 16th of February. Better?
Perfect.
Indemnities may be required. Volkswagen Financial Services.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after ten, and I guess it's one of those days when the news could move at a million miles an hour at breakneck speed while we are actually on air. I think it's unlikely that there'll be any major ructions. Keir Starmer, if you're not aware of this, is due to give a speech at 11 o'clock. I mean, as far as I can tell, a scheduled speech that he would have given anyway, but it certainly assumes, doesn't it, a level of interest that wasn't in place this time yesterday, actually, even before PMQs. But I think at the moment I'm minded to take that live. It would be quite weird not to. And if the speech is really boring, which is, of course, possible, then we will definitely return for the Q&As, which are unlikely to be, shall we put some bets on this, unlikely to be about the meat and drink of the speech that he's just delivered, and rather more likely to be about the absolute hot mess that he finds himself in this morning. And here's a line that I think is indisputable, and there may not be as much about this story that is indisputable as we initially think. It is a mess entirely of his own making, which means whatever prejudices or opinions you come to this story with, the one brick upon which we can all agree this story has been built is that it is a mess entirely of his own making. If there were any doubt about that, it was summarily removed yesterday for two reasons, which may be reasons of different magnitude, but which at this point in proceedings look very similar. The first is that he knew Peter Mandelson had maintained contact with Jeffrey Epstein long after, or certainly immediately after, Epstein had been jailed for procuring a minor, a child, somebody under 18, for prostitution. And that was one of only two charges that he copped to in what looks like the mother of all so-called plea deals. Incredibly soft punishment and an incredible number of allegations left unexamined and untried as a consequence of the deal that he struck. The second bit, which was a consequence of some uncharacteristically adroit questioning from Kemi Badenoch in the House of Commons yesterday, and you could describe what she faced as an open goal, but we're talking about Kemi Badenoch, so friend or foe would agree that there's no guarantee that she'd actually score, even if the goal was as wide as the Mersey Tunnel. But the security services had also told him that Peter Mandelson had maintained contact with Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction and incarceration. And I think at the moment the furthest we can go is that they had expressed concerns, which means that Peter Mandelson is called upon by Keir Starmer to assuage any concerns, to reassure the Prime Minister that the security services have nothing to worry about, and though they have flagged contact, I can assure you, Prime Minister, that the contact is minimal and over. In other words, if we are to take Keir Starmer at his word, which I think we can still do, you may disagree, if we are to take Keir Starmer at his word, Peter Mandelson lied through his teeth about the army of skeletons that were in the closet he shared with Jeffrey Epstein. And that's why I keep oscillating between thinking this is really simple and thinking that it's actually quite complex. When push comes to shove, that doesn't matter. You know, there's a sort of critical mass with politicians, with senior politicians walking the resignation tightrope. There's a critical mass at which the facts cease to matter. You can see long after the event that the facts cease to matter to some people. The idea that Boris Johnson was hounded out of Downing Street by his own party, having failed completely to cobble together the mother of all botched cabinets because he had a glass of wine or a slice of cake during lockdown, is a lie and a nonsense so spectacular that it is truly visible from space. But, of course, that is the nature of cults of personality. People can never admit that their hero has feet of clay. I mean, the list, you want to go back to the partying with KGB agents, whatever it is that rendered Boris Johnson supremely unfit for office. You can take your pays, your money, you take your pick. But of course, as I just heard towards the end of Nick's show, you can find one or two people who will still cling to the carcass of that idiocy. That is a sort of critical mass. If you reach it, the facts cease to matter. In other words, however intellectually safe or sound Keir Starmer's defence may be, even if it is supported by the evidence that emerges when these documents are handed over to the Select Committee, another victory for Kemi Badenoch there, by the way. Make no mistake, Keir Starmer did not want to do that. And although it was pressure from his own MPs that forced his hand, it was pressure rather adroitly applied by Kemi Badenoch at PMQs yesterday that found the wound, that pressed the wound, pressed the scar. It won't matter, is what I'm saying. The nuance won't matter, the complexity won't matter if it reaches critical mass, if it reaches the point where people cannot conceive, MPs particularly, cannot conceive of going into battle at another general election, years hence, with Keir Starmer still in charge. And that's obviously the first and foremost question to ask this morning. It is the notion that his position has become